Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into N5D Radio, the next dimension in radio, where we bring you the hottest, in-depth, spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric conversations and news with your hosts, Greg Prescott and Kendra Gilbert. Get ready for spirit, body, and mind to expand in 3, 2, 1.
Namaste and welcome to N5D Radio, coming to you from the 99% Quartz Crystal Sands of Sarasota, Florida, every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, and 12 a.m. midnight in the UK. I'm your host, Greg Prescott from N5D.com, and for the next 2 hours, we're going to be raising the vibration of the planet, galaxy, and universe. Tonight, we'll be talking with metaphysician Sean Cohan, who is a psychic, medium, past life regressionist, and much more. But first, I want to remind everybody about the Return to Atlantis conference being held on the weekend of October 4th through the 6th, 2013. I am going to be the host of this event along with Helene Lipson, and I know that my co-host Kendra Gilbert will be there along with her husband Lars. We're limited to 90 seats, and it looks like we're going to be sold out before the end of September, so get your tickets while you can. Everything kicks off Friday night with Dr. Dream, who will be leading a new moon beach galactivation. On Saturday and Sunday, we have a list of amazing speakers, including Lisa Renee, Teal Scott, Laura Eisenhower, Dr. Dream, astrologer Tom Capaccio-Lesher, and galactic historian Andrew Bartzis, who has the rare ability to read universal and Akashic records. And by the way, he will be our guest upcoming this August. We'll be having a cosmic reunion beach party Saturday night, which will be catered by Earth Origins, who makes amazing organic food. And on Sunday night, we're all going to be meeting for the drum circle on Siesta Key Beach. Our speakers will be featured from late morning until mid-afternoon, so you'll have plenty of time to go sightseeing or just hang out on the beach. So as I mentioned, there's a good chance that this event will be sold out before October, but if you're unable to attend or to get tickets, we will be live streaming the Return to Atlantis event, so be sure to check that out as well. So with that being said, I'd like to bring in my co-host coming to you from the rain capital of Florida, Ocala, licensed massage therapist, energy worker, and artist, Kendra Gilbert. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm dry.
Yeah, it's bad. Everything is really wet here. I mean, I don't think we've had a day yet this month that it hasn't just rained. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Uh-huh. And it was sunny here just, what, a couple hours south of you. And it was sunny, beautiful here all day. And I spent the whole day working, so yeah, go figure.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we may have our guest that's in the queue already here. So our guest tonight is going to be joining us from the UK. She's a highly experienced and educated psychic, medium, metaphysician, astrologer, past life regressionist, teacher and lecturer of metaphysics, tarot, and esoteric knowledge. She's an author, writer, artist, healer, poet, and broadcaster with 30 years of professional experience. And it really gives us a great pleasure to have Sean Cohan on N5D Radio. Tonight, she's going to be accepting calls and encourages questions in regards to relationships as we currently have a full moon in Aquarius. And I'm sure that there's going to be questions also regarding planetary alignment coming up on the 29th, too. So it's going to be an absolutely wonderful show tonight. And Greg, I think I see her there.
Yeah. Sean, are you with us right now?
I am. Good evening.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm calling you from my phone. And guess what? We've had a crazy time in London because, you know, a little prince was born today.
Uh-huh. Damien, as I recall.
Could be. You never know. We were looking at the chart, some of us astrologers, and it is a bit interesting, I must say. Maybe we could touch on that later, but it is thundering and lightning here. So if you hear some cracked lightning and thunder, you know what it is.
Okay. Actually, I was telling Kendra that a good name for the new baby might be Reptard.
You know,
like part
you,
reptile.
In
and...
London, to hear that, but I know what you mean. I I have to be diplomatic here.
Yeah,
I might
indeed.
Get my head chopped off. You never know. So
hey,
okay,
Sean,
so I'm thrilled to be on the show.
Uh-huh. Why don't you tell
and,
our speakers a little about yourself?
Saying, sorry?
Why don't you tell our listeners a little about yourself?
Okay, well, I think Kendra did a pretty good job there reading about me. I'm American, as you can hear by my voice. I moved over to the UK in 1985. And I made London my home. Loved it when I came here. Absolutely loved it. I will be here 29 years now this month. So, you know, I'm kind of half... I've lived half my life in America and half my life in the UK. Isn't that incredible? And so I think it gives me a really good perspective on people. I see people from all over the world. She said everything I do. I've had some very personal experiences, too, which have helped me along the path. They've been very powerful psychic experiences, mystical experiences, afterlife experiences. I had not one but two boyfriends die, and both of them came back to me after their death. I didn't even know they died. One, I was in Copenhagen, Denmark in 1979. And the other one was here in London. Both of them were from Pittsburgh, which is where I'm originally from. So, and I was with them when I was much younger. I mean, the first one, I was young when he died. So I feel like I have lots of help on the other side. My story about my life has really helped me in my work. And, you know, I wrote a blog. I write a blog called Shelter from the Storm. I write a couple blogs. But the one that I put up recently, I really did for the show because I thought, well, let's see. We've got the moon in Leo. The sun is in Leo. We're having a full moon right now in Aquarius. And, of course, the Leo-Aquarius axis is all around relationships. Leo is all about the heart. It rules the heart. And it's the fifth house of the zodiac, and it rules love affairs and children. And Aquarius is all about humanity, and it's about giving out to the world. And so, and usually Aquarius likes its freedom. So how can we best be spiritual on the path and deal with relationships, which drive most of us crazy? Let's be honest. So I thought it would be good tonight. You know, I am a medium. I will definitely be bringing in help from the other side for anyone who calls in. But I'd really like to look at relationships for people because I think it's the place, in my experience, and particularly this came through in the last couple weeks, and I thought because it came through so strongly, it really gave me the idea. It was like a cry from the universe, please help people with their relationships. Please help them to know who they really are. So that's what I'm doing tonight. What do you think of that?
Well, we already have a bunch of callers lined up, but before we get to them, let's ask you a quick question here. What's the difference between soulmates and twin flames?
Well, this is very interesting, and people, you know, ad infinitum throughout millennium have been trying to figure this out. I can tell you from personal experience, you know, after one of my boyfriends died, or when he came back to me, he said to me, you're my soulmate. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that. You can almost not know who it is. And then I had my first boyfriend who died. He came to me in a dream, and he said to me, you know, you're my twin flame. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. So it may not always be the people you think it is, although I love both of them very much. And we can have many experiences with many people. People are always looking for their soulmate or their twin flame. Oh, I'll never be happy until I have that experience. But I have to say that's not necessarily true. Imagine yourself as a soul throughout eternity. This is eternity we're talking about, not one lifetime. Eternity, going through going through relationships, love relationships with the same person. After the 10 millionth life, you might get a bit bored, don't you think? And how can you really grow if you don't branch out and experience other people? So for those of you who haven't met their soulmate or their twin flame, maybe you're not supposed to in this lifetime. And that's something I think people should understand. They'll look high and low, and they'll say to themselves, well, where is he or where is she? The point of communion with that person, you never lose touch with that person. Every single person is psychic. Every single person is telepathic, whether they know it or not. And they will get communication from their soulmate or their twin flame. So in the old stories of, let's call it spiritual awareness, your twin flame was created at the same time as you. So a soul can be created, you know, male and female. So you're the yin to the yang. And then we can switch roles and change different lives and have different experiences. So we can be male, we can be female. We can be many different experiences throughout all of our different incarnations. A soulmate is someone you really love, you really prefer to be with them. They're like number one on your list besides your twin flame. So who do you love more? It's really preference. Some people who are with their twin flames find that they aggravate each other. Maybe there are issues from other lives that haven't worked out. Some find just absolute bliss. Everybody's different. And I think the reason that I thought about this idea for relationships is you see how hung up you can get just on this subject? And it makes people not want to be with other people because they think, oh, that's not my soulmate. That's not my twin flame. But we are all here on the school of relationships. There is a definite school of relationships. And there are laws, universal laws that govern love and relationships. And everybody's, you know, heard of the law of attraction. But the law of attraction is a very limited idea. Most people don't know what that means. They don't understand how you attract someone that you've never met. So tonight, I'm going to take some time here and we're going to do a little experiment if it's okay with you. I know you want to ask me questions about the afterlife. So I'll be very happy to answer those too. So we could start there and then move on to that. Whatever you want to do, Greg, I'm open.
Okay, well, actually, you know, I had this dream where I saw my twin flame on the other side, and I know that she's not here with me, and I'm seeing
right.
In the chat room, Gemini Moon said the same thing. You know, and it's probably more common than not to have your twin be on the other side. Is that correct?
It is more common, actually, and I'll tell you why. You know what? I'm going to read something to you. Would you mind? I wrote this in my blog, and I just thought it was so perfectly expressed for the idea of how people get a concept of why do we reincarnate. You know, we create, I'm not reading it now, but I will, we choose every lifetime. There are no victims. And if you are an eternal spirit, you've had thousands, maybe millions of experiences. And there are still new souls coming in, so maybe there are people who have only been around a couple hundred times or 50 or whatever. And each time you come in, you want to experience something different. So of course your soulmate or your twin flame, you know, your twin flame might say, well, look, I just, you know, I had a life. I'm a bit tired. I'm not interested in coming back. And they work on things in the spirit world. We never stop growing either way. Whether we're here or there, we never stop growing. So they will always look out for you because they love you. You're important to them. And so often a twin flame, just like you had the experience, Greg, will come to us in a dream and say things like that. You know, Glenn, my first boyfriend, he was my high school sweetheart. He's the one that came to me and said, I think I'm your twin flame. He made it pretty clear, actually. This month, on the 25th, he died in 1979. And I only had that dream about a year ago. So, you know, that's a long time to be looking out for someone. But he's most definitely always looked out for me. And when Art died in 2004, but I didn't know it till about 2005, he's been around a lot too, all the time. Never stops. I never stop getting signals from him. And I have a lot of fun with him too. He makes me laugh, you know. So I think if you have a twin flame that's in the spirit world, great. Look what you get to look forward to when you die. Isn't that amazing? And that doesn't mean you won't have that connection. You have. If I were you, Greg, I'd talk to her. I'd send her messages. I'd speak to her. I'd, you know, write poems to her if you want. Because if you do that, you create that bond and that stronger connection. You know? What do you think about that?
I've actually seen her smile, and I actually met her sister in the dream world as well. And getting back to what you were saying, though, Sean, it is good to have that kind of support, if nothing else, on the spirit side. Even though we have tons of support, knowing that your twin is over there, I mean, how much better of a support can you have other than your spirit guides?
Well, exactly. Exactly. For me, who knows you better? Who knows you better? Who knows every little nuance of your existence? You know, imagine the gabbing sessions when you go home. Home being heaven. Home being the astral plane, whatever you want to call it. Imagine how much time you take out to just communicate with each other and say all the things that, I mean, they're observing you anyway, but you might, remember when I was 15 and I had that experience? Did you see that? Yeah, that was amazing, you know. You can just see the conversation. And we never forget anything when we die. We never forget anything. There is no blackout. If anything, we remember everything. And the beauty of the afterlife is that we can experience it anytime we want. You know, it reminds me, I always say this, it reminds me of the holograms in Star Trek. You know, where they put in the little thing in the slot. And you could walk in and have paradise in a room in the middle of a spaceship, you know. And, you know, a lot of them would take... Do you remember those episodes in Star Trek? They were holograms. And, you know, Gene Roddenberry was a fascinating character. He channeled through a medium a lot of the information he wrote for the original Star Trek series. And he was an Aquarius, and they're all, you know, very imaginative, genius-type people. Some of them are wacky, you know, but in a good way, and some not. But the bottom line is, I never forgot that. Something about that struck me when I watched that many, many years ago, you know. And that was probably even, I don't know, I can't remember, Star Trek was in the 60s, the original one. And I think this was either the original one or the next one, but I remember thinking to myself, that's fascinating. And I think that's what the heaven is like. When you go to heaven, you go to a place called Summerland, and that's where you meet all your loved ones, and even your pets, you know, and everyone who you care about, who cares about you, will be there to meet you. And some are there actually at the deathbed. They're not just waiting till you die. Some are actually there in the hospital or wherever you may be dying. Or if there's an accident, they'll be waiting because they'll know this would have been your time to come, right?
so we never die alone. Yes.
There's a quick question I wanted to make sure we got to ask here from Donzie122 in the chat room. She's asking, does everyone have a twin flame?
Yeah, I think that's correct, but I think it's... Everyone just got a text. I don't know. It's 12:30 in the morning here. Does everyone have a twin flame? I think everybody does have a twin flame. And I think we have a soul group, and we have connective soul groups. So, you know, like you have a neighborhood, and you hang out in that neighborhood, and then you hang out in the next neighborhood because you like that too, and you know a few people there. And then you might actually go to a neighborhood across the city that you also like. And so, you know, as above, so below. So we have the idea of people that we connect with through other soul groups. And we incarnate with those people, too. So I think Greg was asking me a while back, you know, do we just keep playing with the same soul, you know, keep incarnate with the same soul group? No, absolutely not. It would just be boring. Remember, you know, we're here to learn and grow and discover. So you incarnate with some key people that you'll meet along the path. Definitely. Choosing your family is a whole nother story. I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, rarely do soulmates and soul group people are in your own family. Maybe one, if you're lucky, right? Because life is also about contrast. It's about texture. It's about the grit of life. It's about challenges. It's about what is going to wake me up. What is going to force me or awaken me to get more aware? What's going to provide the grist to make things happen? So you come into families where you fight, where it's not easy, where there's always problems. That's good grist for the mill, right? And eventually when you get out of the, you know, the ego, he said, she said, if you're lucky enough to do that, then you start to see the benefit of that. But it may take you till the end of your life to see that. So everybody's story is different. And this is Earth is the land of a gazillion stories. It's all different dramas playing out. Good dramas too. Not always difficult, you know. So everyone has a soulmate, yes. Everyone has soulmates. You have soulmates that you play with in each life. Some could be your worst enemy in a life, just to make you do something, that face a fear or, you know, push you to do stuff you maybe wouldn't do. And when you get back home, you have a big laugh about it. Well, you played that part pretty. Could you have done it any more stronger, you know? And because there is no anger and hatred in heaven. So if there's no anger and there's no hatred, then how can that be if this entire life story is just one big drama to be played out here? And then, you know, when you get home, you see the benefits of why you played it out. You see the benefits of why that person did this. Now, if you're really determined to wake up spiritually, if you really want, and you must want it, because it's not going to come unless you make the effort. If you want to know who you are, if you want to know why you're here, what your purpose is, if you want to be able to open up psychically and spiritually and have divine contacts yourself, then you must do the work. Some people have worked in it many, many lifetimes, so they come in already knowing. They still have to. You can be, you know, Mario Andretti in another life, but when you come back, you still have to learn to drive a car when you grow up. You know what I mean? So you still have to train. You still have to develop and work. I think in this world today, it would be so easy to just say, oh, I married my twin flame, I married my soulmate, and we're, you know, living happily ever after. I can honestly say, and I counsel a lot of people, I read people all over the world, I have clients, okay? And I can tell you that's not true. It's just not true. There are people, it's a fantasy, you know? Because you still have to do the daily grind of living. And when you do the daily grind of living, crap happens. You may not like something they do. They may not like something you do. So I think, you know, the beauty of love is that it is just love. That's all it is. And I think we tend to make it something it isn't. And that's what I want to talk to people about tonight. So, does that answer your question?
Now, Sean, I think that it answered it beautifully. Yes, absolutely. Now, is there any life similar to what we experience here on 3D Earth that, you know, that we actually live on the other side? Maybe you could, like, take us through just a real quick idea of what you feel a typical day in the life of the spirit is or what it would be like.
I would love to do that because I think it just sets a lot of delusion, illusion, fantasy, you know, straight. There is definitely life on the other side, and every single one of us, no matter what we've done here, will go there. So there's no hell, there's no purgatory, okay? Never existed, never will. There are many levels to the astral plane, not just one. In the same way that we did not know 200 years ago that amoebas and little things that we couldn't see without a microscope existed. Then we got a microscope. Somebody brilliantly invented a microscope. And all of a sudden, there was a whole world right in our face, right in front of us, but we didn't know it existed. And this is exactly what the spirit world is like in metaphor. So the spirit world isn't up in the sky. It's all around us. This is why people are constantly catching glimpses of spirit, because spirit is actually all around us. So that's number one. But in number two, when you die, you go through the tunnel, you know, the tunnel. The tunnel is the entrance to that dimension. That's all it is. Your soul knows exactly how to go there. Why? Because it's gone there a gazillion times before. And if you're freaked out and scared and you're still in your human personality and your human thought patterns, and when I say human, I mean this 3D energy, right? Then what happens is you get assistance. You know, there's loads of assistance. There's so much assistance. You know, I love the expression from the Talmud. It's just a beautiful thing. I quote it in my metaphysics class. You know, in the Talmud they say, for one blade of grass, an angel is whispering to it, grow. Isn't that lovely? So imagine how many angels it takes to grow a lawn, you know. Let alone all over the world. So we have angels, we have masters, we have guides, we have our loved ones in the spirit world who are definitely there to help us. Now, so that's the story about crossing over. When you die, there's absolutely no pain. You don't feel pain. Just to start from the beginning, you know, when you leave this planet, you may have terrible illness, you may be in pain, it may be difficult, you may have a sudden death, an accident. That will be a shock to the system. But once you're out of your body, there's no pain. Okay? You're never going to feel that. And you will immediately be met by either your grandparents. Usually the grandparents come if someone's younger. And if not, then it'll be your partner, your spouse. It could be the most beloved dog you ever had. It could be your own mother, your own father. It could be someone you love very strongly, so you have a recognizable face. In the case of people that maybe didn't have the best relationships, maybe, you know, I don't know, say an orphan died, you know, or something like that, then it would be met by a guide or an angel. And angels appear without wings to these people. Sometimes they appear with wings. You know, they can manipulate their appearance. And so can we in the spirit world. And I'll talk about that in a second. So you get to the other side, now what? I love the movie Defending Your Life, which is very funny with Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks, the comedian. That is a very funny movie about what happens after you die. It's not all true, of course, but there are parts of it that are true. So you get to meet with the people who you've longed to see. That's why we never lose anyone. We cannot lose anyone at all. Energy never dies. Then, after a grand reunion home, and that could be in our earth time, that could take days. But in the spirit world, there is no time. And if people find that impossible, how does it work? There's no time. Because they're in. Did you ever watch something and you were in the moment so intensely that you didn't think about an hour went by? It's that.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it feels like. So you're in the moment, you're in the experience, and you're just so involved in it and so peaceful about it that, or happy about it, that you're not thinking in linear time. So linear time belongs to the earth, okay? It does not exist in the astral plane. And after that, you can take your time and you can have a life review. Some people get it right away. And some people, it depends on how they passed, whether they're able to handle it or not. And the life review is always done with you and one other guide. It can be, it's not a parent. It's not someone who will judge you. It's a guide or a master who deals with these things. And that person has become a guide or a master because they already went through the 10 million incarnations. They're not, you know, made better. No soul is better than any other. No soul is more anything. They're all created equal. Meaning, they all have their individual quirks and they take on different energies in different lives. But when we go back home, no, Elvis is not going to be the king in the astral world, okay? That's my point. He, whatever he's doing now, I bet you he's enjoying himself singing because that's something he loved. But nobody's going to look at him and say, Elvis, you're the king, unless they said it as a joke, okay? And there is enormous humor in the astral world. Every time I channel people for my clients or my own personal experiences, you could be crying 1 minute and just laughing out loud the next. They like to keep it light there. They really have a good time. There's nothing to worry about. Do you have a body? Of course you have a body. Of course. You know, you're not some vaporous mass. When I visited Summerland with Art and I visited it with Glenn, I saw this many times. I saw people walking around with bodies, not, you know, ghostly, white, vaporous, or whatever you want to say. You take on your form, but in a younger, maybe healthier look. So, you know, I've had people come to me after their death, an Antabine diet. She was in her 80s. And I remember telling my mother this, that she came to me in a dream, and I didn't ever know her young. But I saw her. She looked about 30-something. And I said to my mother, oh, you know, Aunt Lil, she looks great. My mother was saying, good for her. And that's what it's like. You go there, you don't have to carry the baggage of being in your, you know, feeling old. Another wonderful movie, wonderful book, but I preferred the movie, actually, with John Voight, was The Five People You Meet in Heaven. It's like consciousness is trying to get this into our heads. You notice how all these movies are coming out and these, you know, it's like the collective conscious, the higher energies are saying, look, we need to give people this, you know, it's not that you should jump off a cliff tomorrow. Your life is precious, and every day of it is important, every single day. And what you do with it, of course, is your free will. But when you get to your life review, you will look at what you did with your life. And you will look at, did I do the best for myself? Did I do the best for others? Did I take more than I gave? Did I give more than I took? Was I kind? Was I loving? Was I patient? These are the things that count. Nobody gives a crap if you had a big car and a big house. That means nothing on the other side. It's nice here, but it's really... No brownie points for that on the other side. What you will feel good about is anyone who you made their life better, easier, you know, if you did anything like this, you will feel that love coming back to you. So it really is true. What you put out is what you get back. Sometimes we don't see it here. We see it in this earthly plane. We think, oh, I'm a good person. How come my life's so hard? Well, you know, when you get to the spirit world, you'll see all that come back to you. So you don't get money. You don't get a big house, you know, or whatever. But you feel that love. And let me tell you something. There is nothing on this earth that can give you that kind of feeling, that
mm-hmm.
love you feel in that place. And that's why when you watch all the, you know, the shows where somebody died and then they were brought back, they always say the same thing. I felt so much love like I've never felt before. I felt peace. I didn't want to come back to Earth. Earth is a school. Earth is a school. And everybody's here. They may say no, 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 1,000 times no, but they chose to be here. So
Sean,
that's why, yes, go on, Greg.
Just getting back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, it's my understanding that when we cross over to the other side, we appear to our loved ones the way that they remember us. So if I were to pass on and see my parents, I'll look whatever age they remember me. And in my mind, I still see them in their 40s, so I'll see them as being younger than what I am. Whereas my daughter might see me. My daughter might see me in my 40s as well. So I guess we're just multi-dimensional, where we can change an appearance to however that person appears in your mind. Is that correct?
Yes, but let me just explain something. It is nice to look nice, isn't it? So you're not going to see anyone bedraggled, you know, an old alcoholic all curled up in a corner. Then none of that stuff. You're going to be healed. And when you're healed, you're going to look your very best. And you're going to go to your best place that you felt you want to look like. And absolutely correct, you know, if I become, you know, my daughter grows up and I have a grandchild, that grandchild will not remember me as a young woman. She never met me that way, right? Well, at least not in this level. So I would then have to show her that grandparent face for her to see me. You understand and recognize me. So that's exactly what spirits do. They can come back, or you can have dreams about them, and they do come in our dreams a lot. They're all trying to communicate with us in our dreams. So it's very important that we pay attention. But you know, they will come back as you knew them. Now, when you go there, you can choose to be any age. I had a reading with a girl, with a medium. I get readings too, of course. And I had a medium say to me about an old, I didn't even know this woman died. She was my age. She lived across the street. She grew up with us. She was my, you know, kids. She was in the neighborhood. And, you know, apparently she was very sick and got diabetes and died. And I didn't know this. I didn't know anyone that knew this. And he brought this woman through, and she was saying all these stuff because we used to play together as children. And my mind was starting to remember, oh, yeah, that's right. We did do this. We did do that. And sure enough, when I went back to the States, I found out that she had passed. And the medium said she was much happier as a child. So she presents herself in her child form. So in other words, even though she grew up and she was, you know, in her 50s when she died, she didn't like how she looked at that point. She went back to when she was a child, and that's the way that she likes to be, because that's the way she was the happiest. It's hard for us to imagine, you know, but it does exist. If you see spirit like I do, you know it's true. I've seen every age group. I've seen many, many, many. And, so it's fascinating, really fascinating. So go on.
No, actually, I was just going to ask if we can go ahead and maybe get a caller in at this point. We have somebody here, area code 505. Area code 505,
yes.
You're live on N5D. How are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Sean. I very much appreciate listening to everything that you're talking about. I have a question that has been hard for me to get an answer to. I had a vision. I don't know if it was a it was more like a vision than a dream. There's a male voice that has been speaking to me, and I don't know if it's a guide or twin flame or what it is, but right before my divorce, just maybe within that month, the voice came to me and told me, when you're free, then I'll come. And this voice kind of sounds familiar to me, but I don't know what it is. And I hear this male voice speaking to me. He mentions my name a lot.
He calls
especially
your
when
name.
I'm going. Yes, especially when I'm going into the deep sleep state.
That's really okay. Let me pause there. What's your name? You didn't tell us your name.
It's Patricia. I'm sorry.
Patricia.
Yeah.
So here's something really interesting that a lot of people don't know, and that's why it can be a little scary. First of all, we are never not in touch with the spirit world. We may think we aren't. We may not want to know. We may pull the covers up over our head. But we are always in touch with our guides,
mm-hmm.
and we all have them. Okay? Every time a baby is born, it comes in with a guide. Could be one or two. And there are guardian angels that attend to them. And so that's all through your life. The guide, the angel, never leaves your side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Unless it's on business for you, checking something out for you. And, of course, these energies can bilocate and trilocate. They can be in a few places at the same time very easily. It's not a problem for them. So sometimes we hear a voice just as we're going off to sleep, and that's happened to me many times. And that is one of the high moments of mediumship. You know, just because the subconscious mind is winding down, the ego voice is losing its grip. When I say the ego voice, you know, that voice in your head that's constantly talking, right? It loses its grip because you're just about to fall asleep. And when you go close to that, going into that sleep, you know, you go down to a certain level, alpha, beta, delta, okay? When you get down to that level, you're already in the land of being able to open up and fully communicate with spirit. So your body's still awake, but just. Your mind is more open, and this is why you are hearing this voice at this time. So that explains that. So I don't want you to be afraid of that, just so you know that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And there will be millions and millions and millions of people all over the world, in every language, in every nationality, in every race and religion, who will be having that experience and think to themselves, am I going crazy? No, you're not. This is the moment that spirit can speak to you. Now, you want to know who it is, correct?
Yes,
okay.
Because, I've been on the spiritual path for quite a while, and I've been connecting more with spirit, but I'd like to find out who this person
is,
because he wakes me up, too.
Okay, all right. So
he says, good morning.
I'm using my cards as a focal point. Okay, just hold on. Right, I want to ask you a question. It's weirdly enough, I've got someone who's very young. So was there a baby that died or a son that died that belonged to your mother?
My younger brother did. He died in his 40s, though. He wasn't a child, but he was younger than me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. chose me young. So what if I told you that that's your brother speaking to you?
Well, I've heard my brother's voice, so I know what my brother sounds like. This is a whole different...
Okay, let me just explain.
I even heard this voice before my brother died.
Okay, just give me a chance. Give me a chance.
That's okay.
I've got the Two of Wands, which is two people. I've got the Page of Cups, which is a younger male. That's why I thought baby, younger man, brother. And then I have a card that represents you, okay? And guess what? I pulled the card of an angel. It's a temperance card. Now, if this wasn't concurrent with what I'm tuning into, then I wouldn't use it. But I feel that it is more a guide, an angel, that's speaking to you. They know your name, and that's who's communicating. But you're also getting messages from your brother very clearly.
Yes.
And I want you to respond to him, please, because he wants to speak to you.
Yes.
Okay, keep the communication up. When you hear that voice, I want you to open your mouth, literally, and answer back and see what happens. Okay?
I have.
Well, what happened?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, it's this being speaks to me when I'm totally, I mean, I sometimes when I cannot, I'm mute. Or if I do wake up, if they wake me up, I'll say, "Who are you?" And then nothing happens. So I just
don't know.
Yeah,
because it's up to you to find out.
Okay.
You see, this is the other. I think it's great, Patricia, that you're spiritual and you're communicating. So why not open the door yourself? Why not just literally learn how to meditate, learn how to astral project, and go, you know, get into that vibe of really searching and allowing yourself to have that full-on communion, that full-on communication. You know, don't be afraid, especially your brother's around you. You know he's going to protect you.
Yeah.
Okay? But I don't pick up that this is a love interest. Okay? I'm just being clear. This is a guardian angel or a guide that is probably trying to get you to move a little bit, wake up a little bit more, open up a little bit more, so that you can have a higher communication.
Okay.
The
so that's what.
Yeah, go on.
So that's what he meant. When you're free, then I'll come.
Well, he's asking you to make the time for him. He's asking you when you're free. You know, when you're when you're not doing the day-to-day stuff of. So before you go to bed at night, do a meditation.
Okay.
And put a piece of paper by your bed and write down everything you hear and start keeping a journal of it. And the more that you write, the more information you're going to get to write. And this is work. People don't want to, I always want to slap hands because people don't want to do the work. They think, oh, just come to me and appear to me. You know what? They're not going to do it because it's your job on earth to learn these things. And nobody gets that because, you know, they have a pretty face or they have $1 million in the bank. Nobody. You have to work for that, and there's reasons for that. So you've been given a door. Use it, open it, and pursue it. Okay?
Okay. Well, you have answered my question. I just wanted to find out who it was.
It's your guardian
my guide.
Angel. I have an angel's wing, so it could be either or, but I would go with the angel who is guiding you, working with you right now. Do you like healing?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so your next step is really to be more into healing, like move in the world of healing. And I'm picking up gems and Bach flower remedies and things like that. And this is what this angel would like to help you with. But first you've got to establish the communication, not tag, you're it, you know, but really establish it. And I've given you the tools to do that, okay?
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. All the best.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Care, Patricia.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Now, I got to tell it, Sean. I got to tell everyone that I'm one of your biggest supporters. And for those who didn't know, my sister died of a terminal illness at the end of December 2011. And before she passed, Sean gave me a reading before her death that gave my sister and my family a lot of disclosure. It was a truly amazing reading. I called my sister and told her all the good things about that reading, and she kept asking me to tell me again. Now, I'm not going to go into what was said, but it completely resonated with my sister and brought her a lot of comfort when she before she passed on. So thank you.
Thank you, Greg, for mentioning it. It's on Greg's website. He wrote a beautiful article about it. It really touched my heart to read it. Even though I was there and experienced it, it was a very, very profound experience, I think, for both of us. And this can happen, you know, if there's an urgency, which there was in Greg's case, because his sister was literally ill in hospital dying. And you know, a young woman as well. So there was a reason that spirit just jumped in. Oh, did you hear that thunder? It could be your sister trying to get our attention here. It was a wonderful, powerful, magnificent experience. And Greg's grandparents were there. There was lots of things. And Greg wrote a beautiful article. So we won't. If you want to see it, go to In5D website, in5d.com, and look, and you'll see it. It's there, and it's
what
wonderful.
What I'll do is I'll put a link below the video, so when people check this out on YouTube or whatever, they'll be able to click on that and check out the article as well.
Okay, great. That's great.
Okay.
Now,
yeah.
Greg, I wanted to talk a little bit about before we go to that, and we'll do many more readings, okay, but I wanted to talk about relationships for a reason, okay, and I wanted people to call in specifically with their relationship issues, because the love is definitely in the air. It is a very powerful theme right now, and we've got this grand trine in water, which is very emotional. A lot of people are having major issues in relationships right now, or, hey, going back to the soulmate and the twin flame, could be finding the love of their lives. So how do we deal with this? You know, how do we deal with this when love comes into our lives? And what is love anyway? We are supposed to be here to love. But actually, we are also supposed to be here to be love, to be love's greatest representation. Right.
And we have a bunch of callers lined up right now. So let's jump into our next caller right now.
Okay. So did you? Before we go there, now I just wanted to ask if you had. I want everybody who's listening, if you can, to get a piece of paper and a pen. We're going to do a little class here for a second before we go to the phones. Okay. Would you mind, Greg?
Not at all.
Kendra? Right. So,
I was on mute.
That's all right. I wrote a blog. My blog is called Shelter from the Storm, and I'll put the link up in the chat page. But this is taken from the blog I wrote, and I'm only going to read. The whole thing is based on, how to tell when love is real and not an illusion. Millions and millions of people do not know the difference, and that's why they get their hearts broken, and that's why they have things happen to them that they are shocked, you know, oh my God, he did this and she did that, and that last can last for lifetimes, that he said, she said stuff. You know, I'm a past life regressionist. I've taken many people back, and I would say a good chunk of my work in past life regression is to take people back to clean up the he said, she said. He did this to me, she did that to me, I'm never going to forgive them. And what a waste of time. So, I mean, we do it because it has to be done. So there are no shortcuts to love. Love is a mastery course. And I just want to read this, the laws that govern love. So for all you lovelorns out there, for everyone who's having
a really hard time in relationships, or would actually, you know, really like to know what are love relationships really all about? Why do we even have them? What if we're all have a soulmate, a twin flame, or whatever? How come we have such difficult time loving? Wouldn't that be interesting to know, I think? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read out. These are the laws that govern love. They are the road to mastery. And really, you cannot graduate from the school of relationships, which we're all on, until you've actually got these down. So I'd like our audience tonight to really listen to this. And then we're going to do a little experiment to see if we can clean up some stuff, even without me reading people personally. But I will read many people tonight. So here we go. Number one, we are always attracting that which is like unto ourselves. That's the law of attraction. We do this by who we are as well as what we think. And it can be very unconscious or conscious. The choice is yours, meaning if you have the awareness, you can attract the right person. If you don't have the awareness, you just attract who you are. But you may not know who you are. So stuff shows up that you don't like, right? Number two, opposites attract too. That's the law of opposites. These are universal laws that govern love. That which is the same will have an equal and opposite attraction reaction to. So you can attract someone who's exactly opposite of you. And opposites do attract. You see it every day, right? And what are opposites learning from each other? They're learning about the yin, the yang of the whole circle. So you like white, I like black, you like red, I like green, like the color wheel. Everything has an opposite, an opposition. Oh, it's lightning and thundering here. Okay, we can never evolve until all lessons are learned and completed to the satisfaction of the individual soul who participated in these lessons. That means we go around with people again and again and again and again till everybody gets off the wheel of karma, till everybody gets the lesson, till everybody gets it. Okay, and we do this with love now. We don't do this because, you know, we're forced to. Number four, we do not live for just our own lessons. We sign up to help others too. We show up in their lives at exactly the right time and place, as it is noted in these universal laws. A, there are no mistakes. B, your free will is always being used, whether you're aware of it consciously or not. So this is the way it goes. We're not just here to help ourselves. Obviously, we're here to help others. Number five, you are the designer and creator and master of your own destiny always. No planet, angel, extraterrestrial, incident, or guide has any authority over you whatsoever. Unless, of course, you choose to give your own power away to that. Let me repeat, you are a free will agent always. Number six, taking responsibility for all your choices and allowing yourself to see who and why and with what they are trying to teach you is the key and road to mastery. In other words, there are no victims ever. Number seven, all of you, your most important relationships were formed in the in-between life state. Some call heaven, others call the astral plane. And you and they have chosen this lifetime together to play out your own unresolved fears, issues, insecurities, and use your own abilities, or the need to help others do the same. The great drama of life is an illusion. And what plays out here stays here and eventually gets healed here, which is why there is no pain in heaven, and also why life looks pretty crazy down here and why love can be hard to find. Eight, every word you say, every thought you think, every action you take will be recorded in the great Akashic Records, which you will have complete access to when you pass or can also access in meditation. Number nine, there are no secrets. We are all psychic, telepathic, and intuitive, and this is immediately known to those who pass. But knowing this here while in the body creates a life which is monitored with love, peace, compassion, and good and balanced thoughts and actions. In other words, mastery. Number 10, you do have a soul group which you return home to in the in-between lives, and they will be loving, welcoming, and know you inside out. Therefore, there's no such thing as unloved, loneliness, and abandonment. These are illusions of this world, for your own soul group will constantly be watching out for you and sending you a million little signs and synchronicities that you are loved. Right, number 11, no one ever dies. Death is the greatest illusion. Number 12, you can never lose anything because everything you ever cared about will come back to you in one way or another, and definitely after you pass. There's more. I see Greg has given me a little sign here. Oh, we have many callers. I want people to get this, see? So go to my, I'm going to put the link up, and I want people to get this, because if you think that going to a medium is going to solve all your problems, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Going and finding the truth yourself, doing the work to be part of that understanding and really get it so that you mastered it is why you're here. So I will take calls with pleasure. That's my work. I love it. But I also like to empower people with the tools so they can help themselves, which is the most important thing you can really do for anyone. So, okay, on with the show. Let's have a caller.
Okay, we're going to bring in area code 314. You're on N5D Radio with Sean Cohan. What's your name?
Hi, this is Gina.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Sean. I don't know really why I'm calling, because I'm not in a relationship right now. But
would you like to be?
Yes, I would. But
I
got out of a really bad marriage in 2008, and it was a very chaotic, even though I thought when I met him that he was the love of my life. But I don't know if he was. Maybe he was for the time, but I did learn something from that. So.
Okay. I'm really conscious of the fact that I'm on the phone and the internet here, and it's lightning everywhere. So I'm just, hold on. Just hang in there. I just don't want to get electrocuted. So let me.
That's fine. No problem.
Windows here and make sure we're safe. Okay. So you've had a relationship that went bad. Join the human race.
Yes.
Okay. What do you think was the number one ingredient or lesson that you learned from that relationship?
I guess the biggest thing was that I let this person take away my identity wasn't the person that I really was or could be because I was with him and let him control me. And, you know, now that I'm free, this so much is opening up and I'm finding myself again. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. You know, I'm not.
It's sadly, the way of the world. And what happens to us is that we're so desperate for love that we'll just throw ourselves away.
Exactly.
We just throw ourselves away like we don't mean anything to ourselves.
Yeah, I had
and
no...
Women do it so much. And this is one of the things that I really, really, really... I'm glad you called, because you're going to help a lot just with you sharing your story. You are going to help a lot of people out there tonight who are listening. If you're a woman and you make yourself less to be loved, you're in the wrong relationship. That's number one. If you're a woman and you're so hungry and desperate for a man to love you that you will do anything, then you're in the wrong relationship with yourself. And your first priority should be to nourish yourself, to know yourself, to learn who you really are. And that should be your number one priority. So what happens here is that you are on the mastery path to self-love.
Yeah.
And you make all the mistakes You do everything wrong. You feel like crap about yourself. You find that you have no self-worth and no self-esteem. And listen, everyone who, there are millions and millions and millions of women out there who will tell you that they've done this and are still doing it.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of it.
Okay, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why are we so hungry for this illusion? Because this isn't real love, is it? You didn't get really loved, did you?
No.
You got hurt, you got used, and you might have got abused too.
Yeah.
And so let me just share something with you. When you're on the mastery course of love, you look for the lesson in the pain. You look for the lesson in the it's like the gold in the dirt. And here's the gold. I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to listen. But this is for every woman out there who lowered herself, made herself less than because she thought that she would get a man or that the man would love her. Men do this too, but slightly different. So this is really for the women out there, okay? And here it is. So the abused becomes the lesson of self-love. The abandoned becomes the lesson of self-reliance. The cheated on or betrayed becomes the lesson of never to betray the self, always to trust the self. The victim becomes the victor when they see what they were meant to learn, to stand up for themselves. The lied to becomes the seeker of truth and honors the truth always. The overpowered and controlled becomes the awareness of the right use of power, using it for the betterment of others, not just the self. The loveless and lonely becomes the ability to give unconditional love for all of humanity, animals, and all life, including the self. The judgmental, criticizing, condemning becomes the ability to observe and listen to the inner voice of wisdom, called the intuition, and to communicate with love and acceptance to all of life, including the self, both here and in the spirit world. So you see, you are on the fast track mastery course of love and relationships. And you've just had one of your biggest lessons, haven't you?
Yes, and it was a very long lesson.
Well, it takes a lot of
time.
It took a long time.
It didn't happen overnight.
That's right, because you have to get really severely hurt. You have to really go through the crap and to really ask yourself, what the hell are you doing there? And when you get to that point, most women will eventually, time moves on, and they'll say to themselves, oh, here's another guy, and they go right back in and do the same thing. Now that you know you're on the mastery course, what do you need to do? You need to get the lesson. And then when you get the lesson and you actually use it in your life, you never, ever, ever have to repeat it again.
Okay.
You signed up for this course. Nobody, and I mean nobody. So who's in charge of your life?
I am.
That's right. And never forget that. And who has the ultimate power?
Yeah, I do.
To say yes or no. See, those are two beautiful, powerful words, yes or no. Discernment is one of the highest mastery lessons. So you do not get involved with people who do not walk their talk, who do not show up, who do not, you know, actually speak the truth but are the truth. And you have to learn to look at the difference. There's no magic tarot card here for you. This is the truth, and this is what you need to hear. Now, is there love in your life again? You betcha. But you have to learn. You said he controlled you. Now you have to learn to use your own power. And I've just given you the tools. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Go to my blog, you'll see the whole article, and you can make notes off of it. And we're going to do a little thing at the end here as well. I'll put up my blog link while we're on this. Okay, everyone. Next. Who have we got next?
All right. We've got area code 267. You're live on N5D Radio. What's your name?
Andrew, frequent guest, been off the show for 2 weeks. Miss you guys.
Hey, Andrew.
I know Andrew. I've heard him speak.
Yeah, first
Hello,
of all, Greg.
Andrew.
Yeah, how you
how
doing?
Are you?
Great. First of all, I have to thank Greg for writing that article about my meditation on July 4th. I didn't get a chance because it was the first time I called him since then. But, Greg, thank you so much for doing that.
You're welcome. It was a huge success.
Really? I didn't even know if we got the magic number of people. But it was worth the effort anyway, as far as I'm concerned. But, Question I had for your guest, actually, it's not about relationships. On your video description here, it says, Sean requested for our listeners to call with your deepest fears or perplexing problems, and that was actually what I was planning to call into. Did a tarot reading before calling in to see what
okay,
the talk would be.
Okay, that's good. I'll take that. That's fine, Andrew. Let's do that, shall we?
Yeah, and I did a tarot reading to try to figure out what would be the best possible question I could ask you that would best benefit the audience. And based on the tarot reading I got, I think I should ask you, for the sake of giving advice to all the people that are listening, probably maybe the two of the biggest fears people generally have are fear of not being able to meet financial issues and also a fear of not being perfect. So let's start with the latter one, fear of not being perfect. Anybody who ever tried it could tell you that trying to be a perfectionist is a very bad idea because in the third dimension of consciousness, you are not going to be perfect because fear is unavoidable in a sense. So what's your advice on people who try to be perfect on how to overcome the problem so they can finally get it through their heads? It's a bad idea.
Okay, well, the perfectionism is an illusion. It's a complete waste of time. Every single flower is individual, even if it looks like another. And you can find that in nature. And there's still no perfectionism in nature. It's constantly evolving and constantly growing. So perfectionism is an ego-oriented, seeking, nonsense thing. And we are inundated all over the world with ideas and ideals of perfectionism. But thank God we have individual taste. So one's idea of perfectionism is, you know, to someone else may be disgusting, right? So I would like to not even bother worrying about perfectionism because it's a complete illusion. You were made perfect. You are on a journey of evolving. You'll be even more perfect when you get back home. And when you come back, you'll come in as a baby and you'll do it all over again and try something else. And that will be the fun of it, the love of it, the joy of it, and also the hard work of it. It's an experience. We need to focus on experience, not perfectionism. Does that answer your question?
Yes. And the second fear I wanted to discuss, based on what the tarot card told me to ask you, about the fear of not being able to meet financial issues. I mean, you basically have two choices in this reality. You can either live a life where you need money to go about your business, or you can move in with a tribe in the rainforest, which is not a life that many people would want, even though it's free of money. So not having enough money or not being able to meet finances is an unavoidable problem sometimes in this reality. And I believe Alex Collier, who has contact with ET, said that to his knowledge, this planet is the only planet in the entire Milky Way galaxy that actually uses money. So, how can we basically go about overcoming our fears of not being able to meet financial problems? And for that matter, how can we be like all the other ET races in this galaxy that get it in regards to finance and not having money as an issue?
Okay, Andrew, listen to me. Those other races all over the galaxy, just remember this. They chose to be in that galaxy, in that race. You had that choice too, see? just because you're human doesn't mean that you've been human millions of lifetimes. You could have been all over in different forms. So we need to open the door to bigger, bigger, bigger ideal of, or concept, if you will. So if you chose to be here, you must have known you were going to work with money. So what is your money issues connected with previous lives? And I'm not talking about bad karma, good karma. I hate that, actually. It's, you know, it's not even real. It is learning to work with something because you choose to. Nobody do. So, Andrew, I'm going to pull some cards for you. You've got the Saturn card upside down, the World card. And that means that there's something about the structure of money that you are not working with correctly. So whether you overspend, or you don't put any away, or you don't know how to build it up, structure. And this is something you need to be figuring out and working on. And, you know, it's not just, oh, I'll just sit and think about millions of pounds and dollars coming to me, and one day it'll be there. Well, when you're in heaven, you can create that like that. But you don't need it there. So we all have the power to imagine. And we all have the power to work with our highest capability, which is the, you know, the pineal gland and the pituitary gland. So I want you to imagine and work through your issues with money. It's your issue. It's not the world's. It's yours. And you have to own it. And hand over heart, be honest with yourself. What am I doing that is not ensuring my future? And then you have to do it. That simple. If I give you the cards. If I give you the cards, would it help you? The World card reversed, the Two of Swords, and the Page of Wands. If you know the tarot, then you must know that.
Okay. Well, I'm not really. I use the Deviant Moon Tarot, where you put the cards in a circle around the face of the moon and goes through several procedures until you get to the final outcome.
I know that deck. But this is basic classic tarot, you know. And the upshot is, I think, you know, Jupiter is in Cancer, and it's a really good time for people to expand their emotional self, as well as Cancer loves security. Cancer, you know, they wear their little house like the crab on their back. So, you know, it doesn't matter what sign you are. It's a good time to invest in security. What will help you feel more secure?
Well, you don't want to obsess too much about security, because everybody knows if you give up liberty for security, then you're going to be victimized by tyranny. So there's obviously a problem there when you worry too much about security.
Well, I'm talking about in your four walls, in your home, where you live, where you work, you know, whatever it is you do. I'm not talking about right now the world and the state of it. You know, that's another conversation. But I'm talking about you. You asked me about you, and I'm answering you about you. So, you know, it's important for you to take action on creating whatever makes you feel secure. It was enough for you to call in and ask the question. Are you willing to do that?
Of course I am.
Good, good. That's what I like to hear. And my feeling is that you want to write. Are you? Do you write books? Would you like to write a book?
Writing? I like to write articles on sites like Planet InfoWars and David Icke's Forum, but I haven't thought about writing a book.
So why don't you get serious? You have a lot to say, Andrew, and you know you do. And you want to, so you can step over the line and commit to it. And maybe really sit down and try and write something about what you really feel and what you observe. You're a great observer. Observers need to observe and then put it somewhere, let people know about it. It's no good observing it and not doing it. Artists can be, and painters are great observers, too. So your soul comes from a soul group of observers. Okay?
Okay.
And that's why you're so interested in all these things, because look at what you observe. You want to share them, don't you? You want to make the world a better place, don't you?
Absolutely.
So these are things that you should be doing. These are the same way you do it. You give people the information. Now, you do it on In5D and you do it on David Icke. That's fantastic. But how about a book? How about a website? How about a blog? How about taking it a step further?
I keep telling Andrew that he should have a radio show.
Well, there you go. You know, we have to accept the truth. If you're going to call me and you want to know, you got to listen to what I have to say. Because what's the point? There's 30 other people waiting to talk to me. So I would really, Andrew, I know your energy, okay? And I'm telling you, it's time for you to, you know, man up. Man up. Get out there and do your thing and stop hiding behind these little things here. Because Greg's show is great, and I love Greg, and he knows that. And David Icke's website is fantastic, and everybody, you know, should check it out. Or what about Andrew? Don't you want to be a name out there? Don't you want to be able to stand up and say what you really think?
I think I've been active, but I don't think I've been active enough, and I think you're basically letting me know that right now. So I guess I
am letting. There's no basic. I am exactly letting. I'm giving you a kick up the rear end. I am telling you it's time now. No more dilly.
Yeah, I'll take your advice to heart, definitely.
Good, good. Andrew, we're going to see great things from you in about 6 months, but you got to start now.
Okay.
Now.
You got it.
Okay?
You got it.
Planning something.
Well done.
All right, brother. Thank you for
calling.
Hey,
all the best.
Thanks a lot, Claire.
Right.
Call you again soon.
All right.
Later.
Okay, man.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Take care.
Okay, next up. Oh, we have a bunch of callers here, Sean. Next up, we have area code 484. You're live on In5D Radio. What's your name? 484. Hello. Hang on. For some reason, it's not live yet. There we go. 484.
Hello.
You're live. Hi. Hey. What's your name?
My name is Antoinetta. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Antoinetta.
Hello, Antoinetta. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing wonderful.
Right. Okay. How can I help you tonight?
Okay. I have a little bit of a different question than some of the readers, the callers that had called in.
Right.
I have recently developed the gift of visions, okay? And the last couple of weeks, I have been seeing full-blown visions while I'm wide awake, and they have come true, okay? So basically, the latest vision that I have gotten, and it came to me it started Saturday afternoon. It is a man that I am involved with, and his name is Dan. And I see him carrying his flat-screen TV up my stairs. And spirit keeps showing me this over and over and over. I mean, I must have seen it about 300 times since Saturday afternoon. Now, my question today is, when is the time frame that Daniel moves into this house?
So, I get that you've woken up to seeing spirit, which is a great gift. And
yes.
It's very... Many people who have this gift are scared to death of it, okay?
I'm not scared.
You and I are educating people on this show right now, and that is a wonderful sideline of people calling in for a reading, because one of the reasons that we have shows is so everybody gets to learn. So I want to talk to you for a second about you seeing spirit, okay? Would you mind?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So you've woken up to see, I say waking up because it is a process. It's like being asleep and then you wake up and you see things. And you've seen this, right? And you know, so you're accepting all this and that's lovely, right? You don't have any problem with it. You're not scared. Okay, I get that. So what your issue is that you're seeing this man with the TV, the same image over and over again.
Yep, and he's going to move it into this house. He carries it up the steps. It's his TV. and they are telling me that he's going to move in here. But the thing is, I had a vision of him coming to the door. He had a gray T-shirt on, and I had gotten that vision a week and a half ago, and he was at my door this past Friday night, and he had the gray T-shirt on.
Right. So this is a man you do not know. Is this what you're saying?
No. This is a man that I am involved with, but we have...
You are involved with. Okay, sorry. I didn't catch that bit. So this is a vision. It's like his astral body is being shown to you, and he's moving
yes.
in, and you want to know why is he going to move in with you? Is that the
right.
question?
Right. Well, the question is, the question is, I definitely believe he's moving in because Spirit is showing me this. My question
right.
to you is, what is the time frame? Is the time frame 2 weeks, like him coming here with the gray shirt on, or is it going to be longer? But I'm feeling, if I'm getting that vision that quickly, isn't it close by? Isn't it close by? Like, isn't it soon?
Okay, so it's very interesting, this call, because it's how deeply involved are you with this man? And I have the Six of Cups reversed, which means there's a lot of ups and downs here, and I don't know how strongly you are involved with this person. I see this person is very busy in their work. Whatever it is they're doing, they're concentrating on that. I also see, a fear of loss here. So although you're getting these visions, I want to know the basis of it is how real is it? How likely is it for him to be moving in with you, honestly?
Very likely, because here's the raw deal. I've known this man 30 years. I broke up with him 3 weeks ago. And then I had a premonition that he lost his job, which he did 3 weeks ago. He is not employed. He is not employed. He's living with his stepfather, okay? There is very hard economical times right now. I feel that right now. And I think there is a lot of friction in that house with him and that stepfather. And I feel, and he reached out to me on Friday through Facebook to reconnect, because I broke up with him and cut him off, okay? So basically...
Why did you break up with him?
Okay.
We're going right back to... This is very interesting. We're going right back to something. Let me just have a look here. Right,
okay.
The Judgment card reversed, the Three of Swords, which is a heartbreak card, and the Queen of Swords reversed.
Okay.
So there's something about him that you're not really sure about.
Well, the thing is, the reason I broke it off and changed my phone number 4 weeks ago, actually, today, 4 weeks ago, but we're back, we're kind of back together now, because I said he came on Friday and we patched things up. But the reason I broke it off 4 weeks ago is I wanted to give him a wake-up call. You know what? I'm done playing games. I'm done seesawing. This is it. Game playing is over. And I just changed my phone number and disconnected from him for three and a half weeks until he reached out to me. So I think that's where you're picking up the loss, because he was feeling the loss.
Mm.
And I think I'm in business.
Here's the date he's going to move in. It's, July 30th. And I want to say to you, this relationship needs a lot of examination. And I wonder if you're both not caught in some kind of loop of convenience.
Wait a minute.
Are you
saying that he moves in July the 30th? Is that the date that you're getting?
No, I'm making a joke, a point. Please listen to me. I'm saying that you want me to say the date. That's what you asked for. And I'm
right.
saying my feeling about this relationship is there's a lot of issues in this relationship, and you are not really ready for each other to live together. And the vision that you keep seeing is spirit trying to say to you, that's what you want. You're obsessively wanting it because it keeps showing up and showing up like a, you know, spirit doesn't work that way. But it may work that way to show you how you're behaving. You're a bit obsessed.
I don't know. I don't agree with that at all because spirit showed me him coming to the door with the gray shirt and he showed
up. Yeah, I know.
The...
I got that. But I'm
asking for him to move in. When spirit shows me something, I see people sitting in a prison cell. I have to call the relatives and say, I see them in a prison cell. They go to prison like 3 days later. I see this person coming with a TV, moving it upstairs, up my steps. It's their TV. So for whatever reason, Dan is going to be moving in here. I don't know why. I don't know when. That's why I'm calling. I don't know why or when.
3 days for you to see, like the 3 days later you got that. Then what you want me to give you is a date. I'm sorry, I don't have a date in my head. I can't help you. I don't know why you're saying that, because for my, what I'm picking up is not what you want to hear. What I'm picking up is that this relationship has a lot of issues. It needs a lot of work if it was ever going to make any kind of future together. And I certainly wouldn't want to move in with someone if I didn't have that in place. And I think you need to think about the healthier part of being in a relationship, not the needy part. Okay? And that's all I can say to you, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Good advice. I don't know if you'll take
Thanks.
It. So, okay.
Thanks
the
for
next
calling
caller,
in, Antoinetta. Okay. Our
right.
next caller is coming from 801. And 801, are you there?
Are you kidding me? Someone ate all my cereal?
Yeah. Stop eating all her cereal. Okay, we're going to get back to this one. Okay, let's move on to the next caller. We have area code 213. You're live on N5D radio. What's your name? 213. Hello.
213 is Los Angeles.
And
hello.
Going once, going twice. Moving on. Okay, next we have area code 216. You're live on N5D Radio. What's your name?
Desmond. Hello?
Pardon me?
I didn't catch that. Say it again.
Desmond.
Okay, hi, Desmond.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Do you have a caller for Sean? Or do you have a question for Sean? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to know if you could tell me a little bit about my soul group and maybe a tarot card if it's possible or if it's needed.
Hey Desmond, I'd be very happy to do that for you. You have a very you're a very deep person, aren't you? You're like still waters run deep. You think a lot. You don't always say what you think, but you have a very deep, deep, like an I feel like I'm in a well that just keeps going down and down and down, you know, and it's beautiful, okay? So, no, you're a very lovely soul. God bless you. I say that to you because I'm tuning into your soul as we speak. You haven't had an easy life, but usually, you know, the best souls don't have easy lives because we're here to perform. We're here to do better. We're here to, it would be so easy to lay around and do nothing all day, wouldn't it? Well, what would be the point of being on Earth? We're here to do stuff. We came to give. We came to help. We came to do stuff. And you're one of those souls. You're a worker soul, though. You don't mind getting your hands dirty. And your soul group is very much like that. I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you, but I'm getting images of ancient Egypt with you and building the pyramids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's not, I don't do fancy fantasy. People know me very well. They know that I don't give them that. I tell the truth. And in fact, I would say that you had in that time... around the Great Pyramids, around Giza, you were not a slave building. You were a craftsman helping to design them and getting them shifted. We had alien technology back then, you know, as well. But you were definitely like someone who was in charge, but more like designing. And you didn't mind getting your hands dirty and helping too. So that's the image I got for you. Why do I get Mexico for you? Or you know, like Arizona, Mexico, all that area. What's that about for you?
I have no idea.
You might have had some interest. Have you ever been there?
I've never been to Mexico or Arizona. I've been to, like, Alaska somewhere, but never to Mexico or Arizona.
I'll tell you what, in that whole, like, area, you know, Albuquerque and Arizona, you know, Phoenix and all that, I feel like you would really get a lot of, like, deja vus even. So you might have had, you know, some incarnations there as an Indian or probably an Indian. Anyway, there's a very spiritual side to you, and that life also, the ancient Egypt one, and the life where, you know, I normally don't do past life readings. I take people back. They see it for themselves. But I am picking this up for you. So you asked me to pull tarot cards. Now, I've got interesting cards for you because are you in a relationship and maybe it's a little bit difficult communication?
I'm not in a relationship, but I have a friend that we have common interests. We vibe together real good, but she I know she's been hurt, so.
Does that mean that right now the communication is a little bit tender?
Yeah, as far as if it's focused on her, anything outside of her, you know, you could talk. But if it focuses on her or anything dealing with the past, with the hurt, then it's kind of closed off.
Right. So I think.
I don't know if you might. That might be. I don't know if you're picking up the energy from her or I have just a friend. We like.
Pick it up from you. I'm picking it up. Okay. And the thing about relationships is they're mirrors of us. I know that's really hard to get, but they're mirrors of us. So what part of her is like you and what part of her is something you don't want to be like? And when we start looking at people as reflections and teachers to us, because they all are, every person in your life is a reflection of you, a part of you, maybe a part of who you grew up with, a part of your extended family, a part of your history, or a part of you that you don't like. And when you start really getting out of the he said, she said, which is the way I like to refer to it, the petty BS, and you start looking at people in a way that is soulful, then you start understanding yourself so much better. So you would like to have a relationship, but you're scared to commit, aren't you?
Right. Somewhat, yeah. I mean,
Desmond,
it has to be on the right page. I don't want
tell the truth.
It just has to be all or nothing. I mean, I'm not scared to commit, but it has to be, it can't be.
Okay, so look, your issue, when you attract someone who doesn't commit to you, that's your issue. Your issue is you're scared. So you attract someone who doesn't really want to get involved full time. So when we have fear of intimacy or fear of commitment, we may say all that stuff, oh yes, I'll be with that person to the end of my days. But if you're not with someone already, then maybe there's a feeling that you're scared to commit. So if you could own what she's doing and call it your own, you might see a reflection of yourself. And if you did, what would you do about it? What would you do about it? you would pray. Well, I would take it one step deeper. I would start doing some serious work on why am I afraid to commit. And I would start looking at issues in my past that made me scared to commit. Maybe my parents argued a lot. Maybe my father left. Maybe my, you know, there might be loads and loads of reasons why a person is scared to have a real relationship with someone and be intimate with them. And the reasons usually stem from childhood. So if that is the issue, then you look at that and you ask yourself, I don't know if you heard me read that thing about the school of love, but you ask yourself, what did I need to learn here? What would be the lesson in all this for me? And then you sit for a minute and you just think about that. And you know, you've had many, many lifetimes. You're not a young soul. You've had many, many wives and girlfriends and lovers in the past, in other lives. Maybe this time you didn't want to get involved. It could be that simple. Maybe this time you just want to have, you know, nice idea about women, but not really be involved. So I want you to really ask yourself, do you really want to have a commitment relationship? And if so, what do you need to do to get there? It's not magic, you know. It takes rigorous looking at ourselves and really analyzing and asking ourselves the right questions. And the right questions are, you know, what do I need to do to make way for love? And if you can answer that question, then you know exactly what you need to do. You know? What a nice... excuse me. You're a lovely soul. You have to love yourself a little more. And trust that process a little more. But also, don't hang on to someone who isn't interested in you. That's just a waste of time, unless you want to be hurt or unless you really don't want a relationship. And some people use people like that as, you know, a beard, as someone who, you know, it's an excuse. Oh, he loves me, but he's not sure. He's not going to leave his wife for me, but, you know, I still love him. Oh, please. It's a big drama, and it means nothing. If someone really loves you, they step up. If someone's really interested, they will leap through fire to get to you. And we have to stop playing these games with ourselves. Check out my blog. There's everything I'm talking about is on there. And the only reason I'm referring people to my blog is because it's like it'll teach you what to do. There's a definite instruction on there. Okay? Desmond,
all right.
I hope that helps you. Okay?
All right.
All right.
All right. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Right, thanks for
taking
calling.
All right, thanks.
Hi, Desmond. Thank you.
Hi, Desmond.
All the best.
You know,
Hi.
If I was Desmond, Sean, if I was Desmond, I would buy a maybe a crystal pyramid or something like that. You know, if he goes back to like the Egyptian days and maybe meditate to that, that would be pretty cool.
I know.
Maybe
he already. For you, see, I agree with you that for you that would be cool, but he's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, so really he doesn't have to. I mean, that's,
okay.
You know, it's like, this is the thing about progressing in life. We talk about Atlantis. Atlantis went on for hundreds of thousands of years. So who wasn't in Atlantis? You know what I mean? There are thousands
mm-hmm.
of incarnations. Edgar Cayce talked about this. You know, there are thousands of incarnations over a huge chunk of time. Just like we have different dynasties for Egypt, you know, this dynasty, that dynasty, you know, thousands of years there too. Who wasn't in Egypt in a way, but I really picked him up very strongly with that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him in the headdress and everything, but around the pyramids, you know, helping to get the structure going, which tells you that although there was alien intervention on some of that they were actual slaves lifting those blocks, because that's what I saw very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so
hey, Sean.
I would say, yeah, you could meditate. They're all tools, but imagine you have the experience. He already knows
mm-hmm.
that. His
Sean,
issue is with love.
You were talking earlier. I'm sorry. You were talking earlier about how people greet you when you pass on. My dad gets visited by four men in suits in his dreams. So do you think that these men might be his spirit guides?
Are they dressed in suits? Is that what she said? Well,
yeah.
Your dad wouldn't respect anything less. You know, they have to come in a suit because that's your dad's generation. Men wore suits,
mm-hmm.
right? It's
mm-hmm.
not because they walk around the spirit world looking like the men in black, you know, because they don't. And they don't all wear golden robes either, let's be honest. I've had guys
mm-hmm.
come in a T-shirt, you know, fine, whatever is comfortable. And sometimes it's whatever they feel that you accept. So your father is these four men that come to him in his dream, like you get dreams, right? And
mm-hmm.
I think that's very telling, you know. Dad's a good guy, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he actually told me about this dream that he had where he was on the other side of the veil and he saw his soul contract, but the only thing he could remember was the house that he would be living in, and he's living in that house right now.
Well,
yeah.
He must have fulfilled his contract.
That's what I'm guessing. I think he's a very advanced soul.
Well, he must have fulfilled. That's the interesting thing about soul contracts, you know? You either do them or you don't. If you don't, there's always next time.
Mm-hmm.
So your dad has been given the information that, hey, you did pretty good. You fulfilled your contract. Isn't that nice?
And speaking of parents, I see a caller that I recognize. 870, you're on N5D Radio. Can we get your name?
Hi, Greg. This is Connie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hello,
hi,
Mother.
Hello, Connie.
Hi, sweetheart.
That's Kendra's mother, right?
Yes.
Hello,
yes,
Connie.
It is, Sean. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right.
I have
a question that's been bothering me a lot. I recently got married again for, I don't even want to say what time, but I've been in a lot of failed relationships and my previous husband passed away. And I just got married again and I've already lost the feeling and the excitement and everything. So I feel like I've been deceived. I feel like he's not the person he tried to present himself to be when we met. And my fear is, I'm concerned, is there a chance for this relationship to get better?
Okay, you know, I could take 2 hours with you. This question, I mean, let's be honest, come on, you've just had a major life change, and
mm-hmm.
how could I possibly give you a flippant line, yes or no?
Right.
There's
right.
no possibility of it getting better till you do some much deeper work on yourself, Connie. Why, you know, when you're married, when you jump into a relationship, you have the Ten of Swords and the Devil card, and the Devil card is facing your fears. A lot of women do things silly when they get to a certain age because they're afraid to be alone.
Yeah, that was
really,
a big issue with me.
If you're really honest with yourself, did you marry him because you're afraid you would be alone?
Yes.
Okay, good girl. You see, when we tell the truth, we can open the door for healing. But when we lie to ourselves or lie to other people, and you lied to him when you married him, see? Because you made a thought you were in love just to support that idea that, oh, gee, I won't be alone. What's wrong with being alone? Tell me.
Well, I thought that he was going to be a companion. I was looking for someone that I could share things with because he seemed very interested. I made it very clear that I was spiritual. I've had visions and precognitive dreams ever since I was a little girl. And some of the bigger ones have been just in the past few years. And I just made it very clear to him that that's who I was all about. And now he tells me it just gives him a headache. He's not interested, and he doesn't talk very much at all.
Right. So why would you want to stay with him?
Well, I'm going to be 67 this year, and my health is not good. I've had a stroke. And, again, it's an issue of being afraid.
You see, I wished from the beginning I could have read out everything I wanted to read out tonight, because these questions would already be answered. You should have a private reading with me.
All right.
Because you need a lot of help here. And I don't want to embarrass you on air and say to you, you know, naughty girl ran off and did this and that. The bottom line is this, you're grasping at straws. And when you grasp at straws, remember what I talked about, did you hear the show from the beginning? You know, when you're
yes.
so hungry for love that you lower yourself, your expectations,
mm-hmm.
you put yourself in a place of hell on earth. And that's where you're at. You're in hell.
Yeah.
There is no hell outside of earth. It's
right.
here. This would be one of those examples. So I would pack my little bags and go live with my daughter if I had to. And I would get the hell out of hell.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy with this man. He's never going to like what you like. And, you know, the thrill is gone because it was all fantasy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my honest opinion. But if you want, you know, more, I mean, this is what I'm looking at in the cards. This is what I'm picking up. Your husband is not going to come through tonight and shame you from the other side. I think maybe you think he might. He's not going to do that.
No, he has visited me, but
I know. But if you want a private reading with me, you know, then I will definitely bring him through with a message or three or five or ten for you. I'm not going to do
all
it
right.
now because too personal.
All right. Yeah.
And that's
okay.
I respect my clients. You understand? So I would look for a way to get out of, you know, get the hell out of hell. And rebuild from there. Okay, my darling?
All right. I appreciate you very much, Sean.
You're very welcome.
Okay, thank
Kendra,
you so much.
There.
Thank you.
Bye, Connie.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, who's next?
All right. Greg, I'm having some technical difficulties on this side. It's
okay. What we're going to do is, hang on.
Okay, while
okay,
you're
we're
doing
gonna...
that, can I just do this little, because I know we have some time left, and I want to do this. This is really important. So for all the people, while you guys figure out your technical stuff, right, let's do an exercise on love, everyone. So I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen. And this is how you're going to know what you're here to work on. This is how you're going to know how you're going to actually get the love you're looking for instead of a cheap imitation. And many other things. So if everyone can get themselves ready, here we go. I want you to write down, this is number one, write down the most pressing, urgent, difficult problem or issue, past or present, within the context of relationships. So write it down, whether it was past, present, you're in it, you're not in it, you want to be in it, whatever it is, write it down. Okay? So I'll give you a minute to do, just a second to do that. Okay? Now number two, list 10 things or behaviors you would not tolerate in a relationship. I think Connie just told us a few, right? So list 10 behaviors you would not tolerate in a relationship. So if you're spiritual and you want to pursue this metaphysical New Age path and you marry or you're with someone who hates it, you're in trouble, you know, because that person is never going to want to change. If they do, that's another story, but you can't force them. So, you know, write down you would want someone who is compatible with you, who does like the same things, who really shows and proves he likes the same things. Okay, he's kind, he's loving, whatever. Great sex, whatever you want to say. 10 things you would hate to have in a relationship, and now I want you to write down 10 things that you would love to have in a relationship. So you could put 5 because we're on air and we'll just hurry it up. So it's 5 bad ones, 5 good ones. Right. Now go through the list and get rigorously honest with yourself.
How many of the things that you wrote down, both good and bad, are exactly like yourself? I want you to go through each one and tick them. Tick, 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 tick. So you may have come up with a few things that really wowed you, and you may have been shocked at a few things, like, am I really like this? So, you know, this is, in Connie's case, you know, she mentioned this guy, he doesn't want to know, he gets a headache from her talking. So, how is that like her? What does she do that's like that? See, we project a lot of stuff on other people. Now we have to own it. I'm sure Connie's a lovely woman, but let's just get to the inner wealth. The inner wealth is whatever shows up is what you need to work on. And when you work on that, you own your projections, you own your fears, you own your illusions. You are well on the way to finding the right person. All that gets in between. So here's the affirmation. I surrender my limited thinking and my projections. I am willing to change, grow, improve, face my fears, and in doing so, I free myself and any other. I am willing to open myself up to self-love, acceptance, and my greater possibility. I release, forgive, bless my past, myself, and all issues related to love, and I affirm I am love. Now, if you could even say that once a day, that will change your life. Okay? We have to start thinking in terms of empowering people. And how do we empower people without the right tools? These are the tools. Okay, back to Greg and Kendra.
Okay. Well, there's a girl in the chat room, Tracy Diaz, whose birthday is tomorrow, and she's wondering if she could get a reading, but I don't see her on the switchboard yet. And I know that our time is almost up.
She says, I'll call back. She's writing
here
now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me...
While she's calling back.
Yeah. Let's bring on Area... hang on. Wow. Let's bring on area code 941. 941.
Yes, I'm here.
You are on air. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Debbie. And,
hi, Debbie.
Sean happens to be a mutual friend with a lot of my friends. And I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Sean.
I know who this is. Somebody loves Led Zeppelin.
You got it.
Particularly Robert Plant.
I'll send you some pictures.
Is that right, Debbie?
Yeah. Sean, I've been dying to talk to you, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I have had some very high highs in my life and some very low lows. And a couple of years ago, I got very ill and could not work and lost everything I had worked for 30 years and just was able to keep my head above water with my dogs. Do you see any... So I only concentrated on survival. Do you see any turnaround for the better in my near future?
Okay, look, you're not alone, Debbie. A lot of people are going through exactly this same thing. A lot of stuff is going on that is, I hate to say, beyond our control, but we don't put the chemtrails in the air, but the chemtrails make us sick. We don't know if we're eating GMO food, but the GMO food is making us sick. You know, and so it's really, it's not a thought we're thinking. It's not our behavior. You know, it's the mind-body can only take so much.
Right.
So you being well is really going to be your number one priority, okay?
Right.
And this is going to take, not that I find anything serious here, because I don't, okay?
But all I'm saying is that I feel with you, your whole system needs a lot of support right now. And I'm not just talking about vitamins and minerals. That's fine. But I would, you know what comes to me? Acupuncture. Have you ever tried it?
Yes.
And how did it work for you?
Great.
Good. So that's the number one thing that comes to me. And I would, something about a herbal cleanse, too. I feel there's toxins in the system. And I feel those toxins were not your fault.
Actually, I was exposed to toxic gas poisoning and black mold.
Exactly. Like, you didn't put it there. You know what I mean?
No.
You didn't eat. You didn't put it in your mouth.
No.
So the bottom line is you need a lot of cleansing herbs. Red clover is good for the blood, I know. But acupuncture will help to stimulate the chi, get the meridians running, especially in your endocrine system and things like that. Get everything running for you. I would very much be focusing there first, if you can. You know, why do I see a dog? Big dog.
Or five.
Or five. Okay, so you got dogs. Have you got one in the spirit world?
Many in the spirit world.
I
just lost one in December.
Okay, that's the one coming through to give their love to you. I think it's a boy.
Yes.
The male dog, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And big roofs. You know, big barking there. But lovely, beautiful energy. Pets come through with so much love. Oh, my God, if you could feel that love. You know what it's like when they're around. But when they're in the body, so to speak, in life, but when they come through from the spirit world, they're like angels, you know. They're just gorgeous and loving. And anyone who could ever even think of harming an animal, you know, when you see their spirit energy is so beautiful. You know, he's with your family there. He's telling me that he's with, I believe it's either a mother or a grandmother.
Probably
okay?
My grandmother.
Okay, yeah, because it's an older woman, showing me an older woman. And you're not going to be completely alone in this lifetime. There's still someone here for you. I don't think you've met them yet. Okay.
Well, that was going to be my next question. If I had my soulmate,
tipped,
or do I have to live another 100 lives?
I pipped you at the post there, didn't I, Deb? Right? I knew
Sorry?
You were going to ask. I pipped you at the post. I got you before. I got that in my head that you were going to ask that question, and I said it before you asked. So, listen, sweetheart, you're not meant to be alone, but you are meant to clean up your health. That's your number one priority. No good wanting a man if you feel like crap, right?
Exactly.
So take care of yourself.
Thank you so much, Sean, and I won't take up any more of your time, but I'm delighted to have listened in tonight.
Oh, I'm so glad you did, Debbie. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely person you are. God bless you. All the best
to
you.
We'll
talk on Facebook, okay?
We'll chat soon.
And for people who don't know, I don't know Debbie. I only met her on Facebook, right?
Right.
Right, that's it. Okay.
Thank you so much.
So welcome.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Sean, we're running
like
overtime right now. So
uh-huh.
If you want to take more calls, we're running overtime right now. If you want to take more calls, that's up to you.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
No problem.
Well, Kendra, would you like to bring on Joanne?
Sure. Is it? Okay, Joanne. Area code 208. Here we go. You there? Happy birthday.
Yep, we hear you. You're on air on N5D Radio.
Great. Hi,
Joanne.
I missed almost the whole show. Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. I would like to know if I kind of feel like a hamster on a wheel just going round and round, and I've learned so many things in this lifetime, and it just blows my mind. But I feel like I'm stuck. I'm not stuck in love. Life is good. Relationships are good. Kids are good. I love the earth. I don't like what some of the people are doing to it, but, you know, I try to stay positive about all that. But I would like to know if I have bad karma or if I'm stuck on this bad karmic wheel and or from this life or from past lives and how I can and get through that.
Okay, let me just say, you've said two really interesting things to me, and here's what I heard. My life is great, so why am I not happy?
I'm happy.
Your life is great. You're in a relationship you're happy with, and you mentioned to me that, you know, that you feel pretty good about your life. So why do you feel stuck if everything's so good?
I guess it has more to do with everyone and our planet. It's the things that I see happening in the world, and I feel so helpless, like I want to do something. I mean, I meditate every day, and then I send out lots of love for everyone, especially when I come across stories about people that are hurting or, you know, just brutal, unnecessary things. It hurts my heart very deeply, and I just want to know if I should be doing more or what can I do to do more to help others, to make our planet better, you know.
So Joanne, were you listening from the beginning of the show?
No, I wasn't. I missed the Laza show. Right. Unfortunately, I'm still trapped in the system and still have to have a job.
Okay, listen, because I mentioned before in the beginning, I read these things about relationships and life, and you know, it's very important that you read it. You can read it on my blog. The blog is up in the chat room, the link.
Okay,
I'll put it up again before the show's out.
Okay.
Basically, it's like this, okay? You're asking the $3 million question, and the thing that I would like to suggest to you is that you must step back from the world and see the grand drama playing out. And sometimes we can step in and help because it's right in our face and we know what to do. And other times it's the ego. And I know that's really hard to hear, but it's true.
Well, I totally understand what you're saying.
Okay. And the difference is discernment. Discernment. Discernment is a mastery level course. How do you get discernment? You do a lot of stupid things that you get your fingers burned. And eventually, and you want to rescue everyone, you want to heal the world, and you want to take it on, you want to be, you know, the supreme light worker, the supreme healer, the supreme, you know, but it's control freak stuff. It's ego. The world is spinning any ways exactly as it's supposed to. I know people don't want to hear that. And I would definitely say there's an elite. There's an elite trying to take over, and it's crap. You know, that's not correct. Maybe that wasn't written in. But I definitely believe that your heart hurts because you're sensitive. So do the work that you can do in your own way that's pertinent to you and you only. That is what you should be doing. So if you're not happy with the world, your job is not to criticize it or look down on it or feel bad about it. They're all a waste of time and a great way to do nothing. If you really want to do something, you step in to your own power and you help in that way. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. So I'm already doing what I need to do.
Well, do you own that?
I probably don't own it 100%, but you know, I understand what you're saying, and you're right. You're very right.
The world needs heartbreak. Why? So that we learn compassion. everything I read out in the beginning, why do people have abuse? Because they learn self-love. In the end, they learn self-love. I'm never going to let someone do that to me again. Aha, I'm going to love myself. Every difficulty has a gift in it, but you have to be wise enough and aware enough to say it. And when you're only seeing in the he said, she said, you know, the he said, she said, oh, look at this, look at the news, look at that. It's all drama. You think
it
that
is
plays
drama.
Out? It's bullshit. Do you think it plays mm-hmm. out in the spirit world? Hell no. And that's where we come from, and that's where we're going back. So either you, Shakespeare said it, all the world's a stage, and we're only merely actors in it. And if you really understand that, because that's a profound, deep, metaphysical statement, we are all acting our part, okay? The bad guys sign up to be bad guys because maybe they think that'll be fun. The good guys sign up to be good guys because they got a big heart and they want to be rescuers. You know, but everybody goes home to the same place. How do you think we get along on the other side? How do you think the murderer and the rapist show up on the other side? They show up as a spirit taking on a role. And it's a nasty role, but maybe it helps someone in another way. Read the book, Your Soul's Plan, by Robert Schwartz. Robert Schwartz wrote a great book all about why the soul signs up for very painful, difficult, even horrific life experience. When they get home, they get the gift of the experience. So the abuser stands up and says, I love myself. And everybody watches them. Do you ever see someone? Look at the Olympics. Look at the Paralympics. Well, how great was it to see all those people with all their injuries, you know, shine? Sometimes we sign up just to be an inspiration to others. Sometimes we go through hell because there are great gifts at the end of it. But the point isn't to stay in hell. The point isn't to stay in misery. The point, you have a power. You are a spiritual person. You have a lot to give. You have been blessed with a really wonderful life. So don't be afraid to use the light that you want to bring in and keep bringing it in. Okay?
Alrighty.
And understand the world is as it is. It, not all of it. There's some horrible crap going on. But the world is spinning exactly as it's supposed to, so we can all wake up. We can all evolve. We can all be better souls. Without dark, there is no light. Without light, there is no dark. We're here to experience both. And you can say that's horrible and miserable and children, you know, getting stabbed, going to school, and all. It is horrible. There's nothing good about it. But there will be lessons beyond this. You never can lose anything. Every single person, pet, plant you ever loved is in the spirit world. And they will be just as you remember them. And alive and well. So if we cannot really lose, if losing is an illusion, if death is an illusion, then what are we so scared of? So this is what metaphysics, it's not just metaphysics, it's all my experience behind it too. It teaches us not to be afraid, to own our power. There's all these things going on in the world, but we're so scared. If we just heal our little part of the world. We work on our own issues. We work on our family. We work on our children. Just the people we're meant to take care of and help. The world would be a million times better than it is. But everybody's so busy blaming everyone and projecting everything and so sure that the next person is going to save us. We're all looking for a savior. Who's going to come along and save us? Nobody is supposed to come along and save us. We're supposed to learn how to do it ourselves. So you've been very patient listening to me. Thank you, but I hope I've helped you.
You have helped tremendously. Thank you so much.
Very welcome. God bless you, and you're going to be great. You already are. You just have to own it and go do it. Okay?
All righty.
Thanks for calling, Joan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Anyone else? Sean, yeah, we actually do have some other callers. Did you have any particular number in mind of, how many other callers you would like to accept tonight? I know it's getting kind of late
where
you're at.
It's 2:14 here, a.m. I'm good. So just keep going, and then when I get tired, I'll tell you.
All right. Well, we have area code 203. Are you with us?
Hi.
Area code. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Welcome
I'm good, thank you.
Radio.
How are you?
Doing great.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name's Austin.
Austin, wonderful. Do you have a question?
What a lovely name.
What was that?
If my daughter was going to be a boy, I was going to call it Austin. But she got Autumn instead, so there you go. How can I help you?
Well, I've been listening to the radio show tonight, and recently I've been experiencing what I believe is a shift in my consciousness for the beginning of that, and I'm not sure what to say right now.
Okay, let's stop there. So you've experienced a shift in your consciousness, which is great. Let's acknowledge the good stuff. And when you say you've experienced a shift, can you give me an example? Are you seeing or hearing things? Are you dreaming? Are you having astral projections? What's happening? Austin?
You there, Austin?
Wow, we lost Austin.
Yeah, he dropped off the board.
Sure did.
That was area code 203. I don't see him on here.
Call back, Austin.
Yep. And I guess right now we're going to move on to area code 407. Austin, if you're listening, call us back. But area 407... Area code, area 407, you're on N5D Radio. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Sean. Hi, Kimba. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let's find out about you. So how can I help you tonight?
Okay. I have a question. It's a very, very personal question. Right now I'm single. I was in a very long-term relationship about 2 years ago, and I had a miscarriage with my ex. We are no longer together, and I just want to know what exactly is my connection to the child that I didn't get to have. I feel as if though I'm supposed to have this child, or as if I lost a connection, I feel guilty for not being able to bring this soul, this person into this world.
Don't ever feel guilty. It was the soul's choice to leave, not yours. Miscarriages are because the soul knows the body's not right, and it leaves. It's just as simple. It's nothing personal. It wasn't their time to come in with a bad quote-unquote body. In other words, some souls sign up to be handicapped, and they want to be, you know, because there's a lesson for everyone, teachers, the people around them. They learn through observing, helping, working with that particular child or soul. So many handicapped children, for instance, are teaching souls. They teach patience. They teach love. You know? If a soul leaves. First of all, the soul is not in the body until right before the birth or right after. So the soul can never die. It doesn't enter into, it can go into and out of the mother's womb, really as much as it wants. But most souls, imagine being a big soul and coming into a little body. Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, books by Dr. Michael Newton, talk all about this. And I would definitely urge you to get those books. And it's not going to be about maternity stuff and miscarriages. It's going to be about the power of the soul and what happens to the soul. That soul wants to be born to you. It will come back in the right time and maybe in the right relationship. And it will definitely choose you, as all souls choose their parents. And these experiences are predetermined before we're ever born. And the other thing is, which is why if you decide, let's say you decided you didn't want to have a baby, but you got pregnant, the soul is not in there. The soul is not in there right before or right after. So if you want to have...
I didn't feel it was right. I mean, it was a miscarriage, but I knew that our relationship, we were not, it was a very rocky relationship towards the end. And I'm not happy for it happening, nor upset. I mean, I know it's not nor good or bad. I have that sense of guilt or like I owe. But
you don't owe
anything.
Well, that's your stuff. That's not real.
Mm-hmm.
That's your stuff. So
yeah.
When we own
our... I wasn't
aware
that the soul is not, until once you are born, I wasn't aware of that.
And right before the birth or right after. Yeah. Because the soul, do you know when a baby's head knits together, it's age 2, roughly, right? So
right.
You may not know this if you've never had a child, but the way that the child is able to fit through the birth canal is that the skull is able to be malleable, and therefore it can be born. Now, when a newborn is born, any parent will tell you this and understand this, that you have to be very cautious of their head.
Yeah, no, I am a mother. I do have
okay,
a child.
Okay.
I have a daughter.
Right. So the fontanelle, I can't remember. It knits together around age 2. The astral body is able to leave, the baby is able to leave and leave the body many, 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 many times in those first 2 years because it goes back home for instruction. It is a full-grown soul being in a little baby body, which without even being able to communicate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we are given... through the grace of God or the grace of the source, whatever you want to say, 2 years to really settle in.
Wow.
And once we're in, we're not trapped in. We can still astral project every night, and most people do, and they don't even know it. And again, Michael Newton's books talk about this, Journey of Souls, Destiny of Souls, Life Between Lives. And what I would say to you is that you can carry that guilt the rest of your life, but it will be an absolute untruth. Or you could just let it go and know that it wasn't the right experience. Which
Absolutely.
One do you want to do? Which one do you
want to
do?
No, I want to let it go.
Because if you want my opinion about your soul, is that when you let it go and you release it and you bless it and you know that that soul was wise enough to know better. Just because people have sex doesn't mean that babies are born that way. I know that sounds funny, but, it takes all that. It takes the spirit and it takes the cooperation and the soul with the family ahead. These are things that happen 50 years before you're born. Your mother has to be up there. Your father has to be up there, okay? And then they incarnate first, and then there's a certain time when you'll come in. Each sibling is chosen before even they arrive. So sometimes the contrast is there. Sometimes it's horrible. Sometimes it's wonderful. Everybody has different experiences to meet their needs, whether it's to be, you know, the, let's say you have someone who's the bully of the family, someone who's the alcoholic of the family, someone who's the, you know, who's doing terrible things to the children. Each one of these experiences is about learning something, a mastery lesson. And that's what I have to say. So you had that experience because it wasn't the right time. And what did you need to learn? What do you think you needed to learn?
I think I, to let go and just know that wasn't the right time for me.
Right. You needed to know that now. But what about that relationship you were in?
Oh, that I definitely needed to let go. That relationship, I just, now I reflect back, and I know I needed to learn to love myself. As in, I think one of the first callers that you had was talking about that, and you were talking about that with her as well, that you need to learn how to love yourself. And that really rose with me and said, aha, I needed to learn the same exact thing with this relationship, is that I didn't love myself, and I was being controlled, and I wasn't being loved. And I came, now I come out of that, and I've learned to truly, truly love myself and become more connected with spirit as well.
Good, very good girl. Excellent. See, that's what we want to hear, but I want you to do it, not just say it, right? And that's right. The important thing. Action speaks louder. So what are we going to do today to make the tomorrow better? Do you meditate?
I do. Not as frequently as I should, but I do.
Okay. Do you write down your dreams?
I started keeping a dream journal. Yes, I did.
Great. Consistent?
No, not consistent. I should be more consistent.
You see, these are all little areas where we can fine-tune it. Just fine-tune it. Now, instead of looking for love in all the wrong places, how about you look for your own, start to have a relationship with your own your own guide.
I haven't thought about that. I've learned to have a relationship with myself, but not really to have a relationship with my guide, and I haven't
have direct contact information that would help you, and yourself, definitely. You can tune into your higher self. The higher self always resides back in the spirit world. So we have constant contact with it. We don't even know we're having it. But the thing is to get conscious, see? So sometimes a tragedy wakes us up, and that makes us want to get more conscious. Sometimes heartbreak breaks through the heart. Heartbreak can break through the heart and break it wide open. Grief is a very powerful way to transform. And we have all these experiences because we set them up. We're never a victim. So that little soul, if there even was one, would say, okay, at this time in your life, I'll come in, I'll be a miscarriage, you'll learn this, you'll learn to take better care of yourself, you'll learn to make your choices much more self-loving. And now you have the lesson.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey. Thank you for calling in, Stephanie.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it looks like we've got Austin back with us here. Let's go ahead and get his mic live. Austin, are you with us?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi, Austin.
All right.
What happened?
Hi. Sorry, I lost service before.
Okay. So I hope we have you for the full duration now. So Austin,
okay.
Because I've done a few readings since you were off, can you give me again what it is you, I know I like your name, so let's just go back to what we were speaking about.
I have just a bunch of questions really, but one of them was I had an encounter with some sort of an entity maybe about 6 months ago, and I really am unsure, like, what it really was about. I was sleeping, and I was woken up by this shadow silhouette just standing over my bed, and I woke up in the act of turning my lamp off, which was on, and I saw this thing, and I jumped back in my bed, and I went unconscious and woke up the next morning. But it was, you know, definitely real, something that I saw, and it appeared to me that this thing wanted me to see it, which is why I believe I was woken up to see it standing in front of me. But I don't know. That was one thing, and I really don't know anything about it, and I've been trying to research, read things on shadow people and this and that, but none of them seem exactly
through. Okay, Austin, just a second. Let's just stop there. Shadow people do exist. So I'll give you all the links if you want. I've done the research. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, why do they exist? Apparently, research tells us, I don't know if it's true now, but research tells us that the shadow people were here on the earth before even humankind. And once humankind took over, aliens planted us here and all this other stuff, they were subjected to being in the shadow, so to speak. So they live in the shadow. They live in the astral world. They show themselves. They walk through walls. You can catch glimpses of them here and there. I've seen them myself. Even my daughter saw one in our house here in London. Okay? We both saw it at the same time. So there's an old wives' tale that says when a shadow person shows up, it means someone's going to die. Well, that did not happen, and that is not true. Okay? So if you read that somewhere, don't believe that.
Okay. All right.
Some say they're watchers. Now, if anyone's ever watched Highlander, you know, the TV show, I know I'm going back, but, you know, any of the Highlander movies, they, you know, McCloud always had a watcher. And some say that they're watchers, and they watch over their charge, and we could be their charge. You know, we could be the person, like you have a guardian angel or you have a guide. Now, it's very interesting because I've seen them. They're a completely black shadow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some say, here's the old, you know, this is David Icke, and this is, you know, Alex Jones, that some say they're a psyop thing, that they're done in a, you know, in a little room somewhere and somebody's sending them out through a thought form. So, you know, you can take your pick. If you're scared, you ask it to leave.
Yeah. Well, that was a one-time thing with that entity, and never happened since, but I was just always curious about that.
If you Google shadow, there is a website. A person did a lot of research. I read it. Now, I don't have it to hand, sadly, but if you just Google shadow people, you'll find it, because I'm sure there aren't many sites out there.
Numerous, yeah.
So, what was the question that you wanted to ask me before that?
Well, honestly, I was intrigued. I've been wanting to speak with a psychic for a while now, and I thought this was a great opportunity to poke around and ask a few questions. I don't know if you could tell me anything that jumps out about me, if there's anything that sticks out, or
okay, well, while we were speaking of, I pulled a few cards while we were speaking, and I got a very lovely card called the Hierophant, which is all about have faith. I got the Ace of Pentacles reverse, which could mean money's a little tight, but money's coming. And I got the King of Swords. You're a very interesting man, aren't you? You're very interested in many things. The King of Swords is the man of ideas, and, you know, very stimulated mind. You're not the type to be,
wouldn't accept boring. Boring would drive you crazy. Am I right?
You are dead on with the one about the ideas. I mean,
right.
I just really out there. A lot of people don't really get what I think about and see in my head and envision.
Yeah.
But
you're an ideas man, and we call that a visionary in my neck of the woods. You have to make your visions into reality. And sometimes we hire all the Taurus people, you know, because they're the earthy people, and they do all the practical work, whether it's Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, or we find people who are just interested in building our ideas, so, or making them come true. And my thoughts about you are that you are very industrious. You can actually put things together if you want to in your life. And I would say to you, who's Caroline or Carol?
What was that?
Who's the name Caroline or Carol?
The name? What does it mean to me?
Yeah.
I can't say that I know anyone with that name, with either of those names.
Sorry, I'm getting a drink of water here. It's very hot. Caroline or Carol is going to be an important name to you, so look out for it. Okay?
Okay.
I'm just giving you what I'm getting. Who's the father? Do you have a father in the spirit world?
What was that?
Is your father in the spirit world?
No, my father is not, but no, he's not.
I've got a man here in the spirit world for you. This could be an uncle. I don't think it's a grandparent. It's not as old, if you'll forgive me, as a grandparent would be. I've got someone like either an uncle or a cousin.
Trying to think. Well, my grandparents are all still here, but
grandparent.
It was just my great uncle.
Could it be a friend of yours? Have you got a friend in the past?
No, no friends.
It's definitely a male here for you. He's wearing a shirt. He's wearing trousers. You know, I can see him.
Huh. And
it's either, I'm going to say it again because he's given it to me like this. Either it's a brother, a cousin. It's to your right, which means someone who's about the same age as you, about the same, you know, it could be a younger uncle, like, you know, parents have sometimes much younger siblings. And this could be a younger uncle, or a younger uncle to your mother.
A younger uncle? Yeah, well, do you have a name that pops up?
I'm not getting a name, but I'm definitely getting him.
Interesting.
Does that make more sense?
Well, my mother's uncle, he passed away, and it's the only person I can think of. That was a while ago. That was when I was very young. But I don't know. He supposedly took a liking to me when I was younger. I'm not sure.
Okay,
really,
that's
but,
it. That's it. We got it. Easy. So just because you were little when he passed away does not mean that he doesn't have his eye on you or is in touch with you. He's definitely not the shadow figure now. He wouldn't scare you like that, okay, or show up like that. But I can tell you that he loves you very much, and he has a lot of unconditional love for your mother as well. And somebody remembers him in their prayers. Somebody still says prayers for him every year, maybe around just the anniversary of his death or when they are saying prayers in general. But he's showing me hands praying. Somebody's been praying and mentioned him, and he's very grateful for that, because what prayers do is they send love. They send love, you know, that energy of love and concern. And that's why they're important. That's why we should all pray for people we love, you know, or light candles for them.
He says that you were like, he wished he could have been around you a little bit longer. He felt like you were a son to him. He was delighted when you were and to please tell your mother hello from him. And I feel this man would have worked. I feel he would, they're showing me something with either gardening or he liked gardens or he lived where there was an interesting or nice garden. I'm being shown a garden. Maybe he's in the garden right now. Do you know what I mean? He's enjoying gardening in the spirit world. I feel I'm seeing a rake and like something to dig flowers. I don't know. Was he a gardener?
You know, I would ask my mom right after this. I really don't know too much about him, but my mom has really just told me that she really liked me, and I've forgotten. It's been a while since I spoke about him, but yeah.
Okay, awesome. See, we're all loved from the spirit world. We all have so many, 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 including our soul group, people we sometimes forget about. They don't forget about us. So I hope that's been useful for you tonight. Do look up those shadow people. It's a fascinating study. I would say to people, don't be silly, but don't be afraid either. You're a mighty, powerful, spiritual being having a human experience. You don't have to be afraid, okay? You got a lot of protection around you. And I'm being given something about, is your dad's birthday coming up?
My dad's birthday, that was around December, I forget which.
Whose birthday? Is it yours?
My birthday was in April.
Right. Somebody's got a, I don't know, he's just giving me happy birthday, so I don't know who, maybe it was belated. But I feel like there's a birthday coming up. Whose birthday's coming up?
Well, I'm not sure. Is this from the man, or is this just like popping
Dad,
up?
Dad, from your uncle.
From my uncle. I'm not sure. I'm sure I'll learn after this once I put two and two together.
I'm sure that your mother knows. I'm just being given, ask your mom, okay?
Yeah, I will definitely ask my mom.
Okay. Austin, good luck to you. All the best to you. Take care now.
Thank you very much.
I hope you're very welcome.
Take care.
All righty. Take care, Austin.
Hi, Austin.
Okay, next up we have birthday girl, Tracy Diaz. Hi, Tracy. You're on N5D Radio. Happy birthday.
Hello. I guess that happy birthday was for me.
I think it might have been for you, for all I know. Okay, let's have a look. Tracy, is it?
My birthday's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Well, it's tomorrow here. I'm 5 hours ahead of you, wherever you
well,
are.
Right.
I don't know. I'm 8 hours ahead, depending on where you're calling. Okay,
New York.
So New York is 5 hours. Yeah. Okay. How can I help you, Trace?
Well, I'm just like, I'm very interested to see what you get from me because I've got a whole bunch of different sorts of feelings and like kind of, I'm kind of scattered about, like uneasy and unsettled, and I'm just trying to figure out exactly why that is, and I can't put my finger on it. So I was hoping that you guys would be able to help me.
Okay, but when you say you're scattered, okay, what are we looking for? Career, love life, something specific?
I guess it would be career and money. Everything else is pretty damn good. So, and career is not even bad. So it's like, it's just, I just don't feel, I'm very in tune to energy and things like that and very in tune with myself. And I've just been off kilter for a good long while now. And hoping that it'll change soon. But there's a lot of things going on, so.
Okay, 1, 2, or 3. Give me a number.
3?
Okay. Let's have a look for you. Right. You want to be self-employed, don't you?
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you to do your thing, girlfriend.
shouldn't be working for other people. You should be working for yourself.
Working
that
on
is
it.
That is the next big, okay, good. That is the next big step for you. And whatever you're doing to get there, you're meant to be doing to get there. Okay?
Oh, that's good to hear.
I would like to see you get a wee bit more organized, write things down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Start putting things in boxes for, like, organizational, create an office of some sort. Because the Queen of Swords is here and she likes things tidy, okay?
Yeah.
And she wants a place that, you know, she's an air sign, but she likes things where she can get to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're talking about your scattiness here. I think this is the big issue, right? Well, let's
Makes
get organized.
Sense. Makes sense.
Right. How can you get a business and have your own business if your own brain is being, you know, a little bit scatty? So let's get the place organized first, and then we can move, you know, expand from there. And you're right. You have good cards here. You have a good life. Nothing wrong with this life.
No, I'm very happy. I am. Yes.
So who's got the swimming pool?
Nobody has a swimming pool.
I'm seeing you at a house with a swimming pool.
I'm going to a barbecue on Saturday with somebody who's got a swimming pool.
Okay, see, the psychic knows something, doesn't she? Okay, so guess what?
What?
Would you like to make that an opportunity to get your business organized and off the ground?
At the barbecue?
Yeah.
I suppose. I'm always open to talking. I talk to everybody, so.
Right, so make every opportunity a networking opportunity. That's
mm-hmm.
how you work. Yourself. Ask anyone here. I work for myself. Greg works for himself. Believe you me, that's what you have to do.
I'm in sales right now, so that's like the 99% of my day is networking, so I'm totally keen to that idea, yes.
Okay, because I get you handing out your business cards or, you know, creating that ambiance where you can talk to people about what it is you want to do or, you know, bring forward. Would you like to have your own place as well? I'm talking about like an established place to have a business.
You know, what I'm moving into now, I always just thought of being out of my home office, but I do have plans to have an established place if possible.
Right. Okay, because that is going to come up in your year ahead. It's not going to be tomorrow or the next day, and we're in July. You're looking at more like next April.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a wee bit before then. And there's good money here for you, too. But it all really stems on, see, the little baby steps lead to the bigger steps. I would get my paperwork and all my bits that are really a bit scattered, and that'll help that. And also, you don't suffer from headaches, do you?
Often.
Often, okay. I get that you need to take some Bach flower remedies. One is, do you know what they are?
No.
They're like little homeopathic remedies you can buy in Whole Foods or any health food store. And they're called Bach, B-A-C-H, Bach.
Okay.
Flower essences. And you take a few drops under the tongue, and you'll be right as rain with those headaches. You get overtired. You run out of gas, but you keep going.
Yeah.
And I see that very clearly about you. And I mean, you know, you've got a lot of spunk and you keep going, but really the body says, we need a rest. And then the headache hits to make you have the rest.
That makes sense, too. Do you see anything with my husband and his career by any chance?
Okay, let's have a look. Mm. He has this, he's got, first of all, his fundamentals are pretty good. Okay, so whatever he's doing, the basis of it is very good. He's not too happy with things right now, though.
No.
He wants more money, I can see that, but how to get it?
I just tell him to manifest it, and he laughs at me like I have three heads.
Well, there's more than, you know, saying it doesn't, you know, there's tools to teach people how to do it, if they're open to it. The thing about the devil card, your husband's a very strong man. He doesn't play fools gladly, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't suffer fools gladly, I should say. That's the right way to say that. So I would say, you know, he has a lot of pride, too. Right?
Yes. Yes.
So it's very hard to help him because he wants to do it himself.
Well, I am the one who usually takes the role that he feels he should have, so especially financially. So for him, it's a rough kind of a patch to navigate.
Yeah. But you know what? He's a really good guy. He's got a great heart.
Yes.
You married well, right, as they say.
I am very, very lucky and very, very happy, yes.
He's a good man, and you have a good life. So all you have to do is take a few steps. You get your career off the ground. I'm going to suggest your husband might have to think about doing other things. Like, you know, we can have many feathers in our cap. And sometimes we need that diversion. And he's kind of sticking with one thing right now, but really needs to expand. This is a year for him to expand. Expand his tools. Expand what he can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I'm hoping to get even more financially stable than I am right now, to allow him the opportunity to be able to do that. So that's one of my goals.
Okay, so you guys will be okay. All right?
Yes, thank you so much for the time, and I appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful night.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, Tracy.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Tracy.
Bye.
Okay, guys, I think I'm fading fast. It's now 5 to 3 a.m. here. You have to remember where I am. So what? How can we round it up?
Well, I think you just did. would you like to tell our listeners how to reach you?
Yes, of course. I have my own website. I'm also on Facebook. And I'm going to type it in, and then I'll say it. Okay, so I'm typing it in into the chat room, which is www.tarotbyseancohen.weebly.com. And there it is. So that'll take you to my website, but you can find also, if you watch Greg's website, you know, you can always chat with him and he'll tell you how to get a hold of me too. And
well, there's a link on there. There's a link on N5D on the right-hand side of the column for Sean's website. And I'll also be putting a link below the video as well as in the article on N5D.
And if anyone wants to get in touch with me and do some private work on some of the stuff I was talking about tonight, you know, relationships, what they're about, why we choose the people we choose, I would like to also recommend Robert Schwartz's book, which is called Your Soul's Plan. He's also got another one out called Your Soul's Gift. And the other book I recommended, which is Dr. Michael Newton, which Journey of Souls, and Destiny of Souls, and another book of his, Life Between Lives. And he's also on YouTube, okay? You can find his videos there. These pioneering souls, especially Dr. Newton, really did a lot of work about what happens in the spirit world. And he took people back for 40 years under hypnosis. And that's what these books are about. They're fantastic. And I've learned a lot. I know a lot of people have read them. And Robert Schwartz, he's a newcomer. He's just written a couple books in the last, 5 years.
but they are very, very powerful about how a soul chooses to have, for instance, its arm blown off in a bomb. Why would a soul choose that? Or why would a soul choose to have, you know, God forbid, one of their children die, or this, that, and the other thing. So what is the lesson behind it? Why do souls sign up for this? So it's a fascinating read. You will get a lot of information from it, and it will make you think completely different about your life. And that's what we're here to do, to wake up, right?
That's right.
Greg, I want to thank you, and Kendra, it was lovely tonight. It was great. Little prince born over here as well. I mean, I don't know, tomorrow's going to be crazy here with all the news about him. And I want to give just a wee little special shout-out to Rick Fiorio, who's been listening, and I know he's here, and to my mother in Florida, who's also listening, and my brother, okay? And Judy.
All right.
If
well,
I
wonderful. Of course you can.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you so much for being our guest here on N5D Radio, Sean.
It's been my pleasure. It was a joy. And anytime you want me, just ask me and I'll be here. Okay? I'll come back with pleasure.
Thank
Alrighty?
You so much. All righty. All right. Bye.
Bye, Sean.
Okay. Bye.
Oops. You know, Sean comes highly, highly, highly recommended. She is one of the most amazing psychics that you'll find, mediums, tarot card readers. I mean, she does it all, and I can't recommend her enough. So next week we're going to have open lines, and we're going to be talking about how to deprogram yourself from today's society, and we're going to be covering a lot of topics. So feel free to call in about anything we cover, or if you just want to chat with Kendra and me about anything in the spiritual world, feel free to do that as well. The following week, galactic historian Andrew Bartzis will be joining us, and 2 weeks after that, astrologer Tom K. Pacha Lesher will be our guest. So on behalf of my co-host, Kendra Gilbert, this is Greg Prescott from N5D.com. Namaste, everyone.